following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then boomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Bert. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Big show here. Big win over the Philadelphia Eagles, dismantling the Dream Team, I think officially, knocking them out of the playoff race.
No.
No? Not officially?
Only three teams have been eliminated. Colts, Vikings, and another team.
Okay.
Not named the Eagles.
All right. Anyway, really hurting their playoff chances.
Okay, you just need to stop.
Why?
And apologize.
Why?
Why?
I think you know why. What did you do?
So every time I pick against the Patriots, I have to apologize?
Yes. But
when you're the leader of
Patriots
Nation,
we're not the leaders of Patriots Nation in Homerville, USA.
One of us idiots always does.
Always does what?
I apologize when I'm wrong.
Right. But do you have to now apologize for getting picks wrong?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay.
You do.
All right. Anyway, no, I picked him. I'm glad I was wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. I'm like Andy.
That's another difference between you and Andy. Andy just wants his picks to be right.
Right, right.
I would have been pumping my fist early in the game saying, I'm going to be right on this pick. They're hitting bombs left and right.
Yeah, no, that's not the way I feel. I don't root against the team that, pays me for a living.
I don't either. I root for my performance.
I think that would be debatable. Anyway, yeah, sure, I was wrong and happy to be wrong.
What, that we get paid for a living?
Happy to be wrong, but it's a big win for the Patriots. The Eagles were coming off a big win of their own, beating the Giants, but they're done. The chance of fire Andy started about third quarter.
Not me.
Those started in about 03.
Kevin, we'll make sure that we have those chants ready for this show. Because they can be used here.
A lot of
as well.
NFL news, too, Freddie, huh?
Jack Del Rio fired this morning. Sue got
two
games without pay, which is
Isn't
a lot.
All suspensions are?
Well, but it's a lot more than like a $50,000 suspension. I think
164
it's,
change,
that,
I think.
That's a pretty good.
He deserved it.
Jacksonville is saying that this new guy, Shahid Khan, this is the guy who tried to buy the Rams before, going to keep the team in Jacksonville. We'll see about that. There's no way that I would close the door on that.
I believe the exact quote is something like, has no plans to move. Well, yeah,
right.
He hasn't planned
of
the
course.
Exact move yet.
Right, right. But there's no reason for Jacksonville to, for the NFL to have a team in Jacksonville, and I think they're going to remedy that soon. But anyway...
He'll just trade for Tim Tebow. Maybe. Denver doesn't want him.
That could be. That could be something. That's the big news in the NFL today. Slate of games this weekend. Some interesting things coming out of, the New Orleans Saints look, I think, just as good as the Packers as far as their offense goes. And they are... that's probably going to be your NFC championship, wouldn't you say?
I hope so, because I'd like to see it.
I agree with Andy. I hope so, too. I'm not sure that New Orleans is as good as Green Bay on either side of the ball.
Well,
but they did play a tremendous game, if you remember, back on NFL kickoff.
Yeah.
The Thursday night opener.
They sure did.
Although, it was. I'd like to see at least one of the defenses provide a little bit of resistance. If you recall that night, it was just a track meet up and down. Yeah. But I do think that Andy's right. I think they're going to get together for a conference title game.
The Jets got lucky once again.
That's true.
They're just unbelievable. Some things came out of that that Paul will be talking about later on.
What will I be talking
Stevie
about?
Stevie Johnson thing.
Oh, no, that was Andy's thing.
Oh, that's Andy's thing?
The Bob
Costas
thing?
Are you talking
Costas
about the
thing?
Drop or the...
Well, both.
Because that's fortunate. I mean, they should have lost the game.
You were upset at Bob Costas' monologue.
Yeah, well, not to the point where I needed to, you know, tell anybody about it. Like Andy evidently
he's
did.
A dink.
And Paul,
I think he is a dink.
Paul,
that's a great word.
When
for
did
him.
He be? I used to like him, like late 80s, maybe early 90s. When didn't he do NBC? Wasn't he like their?
He's NBA and
no, but wasn't
baseball.
He like their
yeah.
studio
NBC.
Host
yes.
for NFL yeah. games? Yeah. I thought he was fine, and
he's
then at some
NBC.
Point he became.
I think he's still good.
Like
I mean,
the Tim Tebow of broadcasters.
Well, I disagree with him what his stance in this, but I think he's still one of the best out there.
I think he's a good baseball announcer. I don't care for any of his commentaries. On okay. anything. I think that he is exactly like Andy said. He's a pompous ass who obviously doesn't remember what it was like when he was a kid. And that's, you know, like I heard the whole, I saw the essay, the halftime essay, which in and of itself, just the fact that they have this.
I know, that's kind of weird.
Is the very personification of what I hate about Bob Costas.
Yeah. Eric-like.
But I need this platform to
But he goes off and
lecture
Stevie
America.
Johnson.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with personal opinion. Okay, some people might find what Stevie Johnson did to be ridiculous. Some people might find it entertaining. I fall into the latter category. I thought it was entertaining. I think he got a penalty because he went to the ground, and that's against the rules in the league that just seems to do everything it can to take all the fun and enjoyment out of the game. But that's a rule, so he got a penalty for it. I think it's garbage, but that's the rule. Okay, great, fine. He goes on this rant, as Andy said. What did you say? What's higher?
What, the only thing Bob, higher than...
Oh, Taquan Underwood's hair or Bob Costas' horse.
Horse. Right. Yeah, it's just silly.
Right.
Calling him knucklehead. You know, he's talking about the dumbing down of the generation. When did he forget the generation that he grew up in? You know, were we that much brighter,
I know.
Fred?
It's just... It's,
back then, right. You know, with pet rocks.
Right.
And as, you know, in all fairness, I stole that. That was from... I was listening to Toucher and Rich a little bit this morning, and they were killing him. And they kept interrupting the essay as they were playing the essay and interrupting it with these little things. He goes, oh, yeah, I know. Like, the things that we had, like pet rocks that were really, you know, the height of sophistication, you know... Happy Days, you know, that was something they used. You know, we worshipped Arthur Fonzarelli. You know, I loved Happy Days, but I mean, was that supposedly like a more in-depth, cerebral
right.
pop culture that we had? I mean, no. I mean,
Andrew Dice Clay.
Pop culture is pop culture. I mean,
I don't think he was that
it's a little
back.
Bit silly. It's not any more dumb. You know, and he carried. You know, Toucher and Rich are like, this is a guy who carries around a baseball card of Mickey Mantle in his wallet.
Right.
That's the guy. That's like the arbiter of moral justice.
Anyway, so we'll be, you know, we can talk about that. But the Patriots are big. Paul has some experience in the type of hazing that happened at Andover High School, so he might want to be talking about that later.
So do you,
that's
but it wasn't hazing.
That's one of the funniest things you've ever said.
When you did it, it was just called a fun Friday night.
No, it was called a shower.
But getting back to the Patriots, what label do we put on that type of win? Did we learn anything more? It was just, are the Eagles that bad? The Patriots taken another step? Andy, you were throwing around some statistics on Twitter a little earlier with Albert Breer about the types of teams that win Super Bowls lately, and it just seems a defense is the way to go. If you had your choice, you want to go into the playoffs with a better defense.
And even more
offense.
So, I don't even want to get to the old debate of defense beats offense, just the fact that everybody shoots down total defense because it's just yards, and yards don't mean anything. Patriots fans are latching on to that because they're 32nd in yards, but they're now 11th in points scored, and red zone, they're middle of the pack or whatever, and
points
they're latching
allowed.
On that. Yes.
Yeah.
And he did the research that I just tweeted. 8 of the last 12 Super Bowl winners on defense. 8 of 11 finished in the top 9 on total defense. And then only 7 of the last 11 Super Bowl winners finished worse than that, and you know, out of the top 10 in offense. Basically saying that the teams that have been better in points and yards allowed on defense, more often than not, that equates to success. They're,
right.
they're no team. A lot of teams don't rank 32nd in defense like the Patriots do and win. So I don't even care about the defense-offense argument, just the fact that everybody seems to say total defense is meaningless. Well, if you look at it, a lot of the winners ranked relatively well in total defense. I'm not saying you have to be number one, but be competitive. The Patriots aren't competitive. They weren't on Sunday. They gave up another 400-yard passer. You know, there's been 12 of those this year. Two of them came against the Patriots. Four of them came in Patriots games. To be fair, two of them came against the Packers.
The
seven of the 12 400-yard passing games this year, Patriots game or Packers game.
Yep.
Do with that what you may.
The other side of the ball, though, was eye-openingly impressive, I thought. Brady was terrific, and I thought the thing I was most impressed about, not, I've seen him a million times have the kind of game that he did passing, but I thought he was under a tremendous amount of pressure, and especially early in that game, and we've seen him sort of get knocked off his game a little bit, at least temporarily, when he's under that kind of heat. He didn't allow that to happen the other day. They had the, you know, not a three and out. They had a first down and then a punt on the first drive. But then from that point on, and he was under a lot of heat.
Well, didn't that one guy get hurt?
Cullen Jenkins got hurt. They still, yeah. I thought he bought time as effectively with his legs as I've seen him do in a long time. Obviously, the rushing totals, Andy and I were talking about it, second highest rushing total of his career in that game. We put that in the paper.
And I think he needs to do that every once in a while, you know?
See, I don't know if he's
I like it better when he does the branch play where he steps up and then finds a receiver. Use your mobility behind the line,
I'm not
in front of it.
Look, I know you guys are going to laugh at me, but you go back to that Jets playoff game last year, and I can tell you that there were times where he could have picked up 8 yards by running, and he just chose not to.
I'd rather he pick up 63
by
throwing.
And I think you got to take that sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the rushing. I think Philadelphia was fine with the 26, 28 rushing yards that he had, but like Andy said, he moves around and avoids a sack and hits Deion Branch for 63
down
to the
great.
One.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Much rather have those.
That's the one
sure.
that you can't live with. And I thought that he did that three or four times. He had one in the end zone. We were backed up in the third quarter at one time on a 3-yard line, I think. And he was in the end zone and had some heat, moved around, got the ball out so quick to Branch for like a 25-yard gain. I don't even think it led to points. But that's a field position thing. You know, all of a sudden you're on your own goal line, you get a big play to come off the goal line, then you end up punting and the other team is chasing points and they take over inside their 10 or inside their 20, whatever the case may be. Those are the kinds of plays that I saw more from Brady on Sunday than I've seen recently. I think he's looked a little bit, I don't want to say skittish, but a little bit jumpy, a little skittish in the pocket, don't you think?
I think he
against the Cowboys, against the Giants, a little against the Jets even in that Sunday night game. I thought he did a good job of avoiding some. But this was back to the old Brady where he was making those movements in confined spaces. The offense was awesome,
I thought, on Sunday.
Well, the passing game,
game was awesome.
The running game wasn't so good. The passing game was awesome.
I think, you know, I agree with you in the recent past, it seems like he doesn't know where the pressure is going to come from.
He's been
a little bit worried about that.
I wouldn't just limit it to the recent past. This has been the last couple of years. I don't think he's been as good at that. There was even the Sammy Morris game where he dove on the ground. He thought he was going to get sacked, and Morris picked the guy up, and Brady then got up.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, this has been an issue, I think, post-surgery. I think he has been a little less mobile, and he knows it, so he's been more apt to just see the pressure, or B, has been a little skittish, but he certainly was not on Sunday. And I thought the only thing that worried me about Sunday is, again, it's what the whole circumstance. They have two receivers.
Four targets?
Yeah. And I still don't
believe.
You really
do fixate on that.
Well, yeah, because I don't like counting on Deion Branch, first of all.
Well,
because he could always be
point.
Hurt, and he can always, as Chris Carter says, just disappear in a big game. So I don't feel great that they just have these four. I'm fine with Gronk. Although I was less fine on Sunday because I thought he got a little banged up.
He did a little.
And he's a guy with a back injury who's coming off a fall on his head another issue.
It's a little bit of a concern.
Which another this league is stupid comment. He got hit in the back late on a play where a guy took an unnecessary pop right in his back at least 2.5 steps after the ball had dropped and nothing's called. If that's Wes Welker or some little receiver, they call it. But you get penalized because you're 6'6", 260. No, call it fair. That hurts him just as much.
That's true.
He's got a guy that's got a back injury. This is his livelihood on the line. Protect
it. It looked like he had the wind knocked out of him or something.
Well,
earlier. Yeah.
But I think he looked a little bit.
He was stiff later.
He didn't block as well as he normally does.
And his spike even, Sunday. I thought he was a little uncomfortable when he knows he has to do it because that's my thing. That's what I do. You know, Bob Costas was probably mad or something, but
that's what he
does.
No, because the spike
is okay.
I don't know, but
that was okay.
It might be too hard, his spike. You got to spike it just as softly as Costas wants it. But my only thing is, Taquan Underwood plays, gets a ball thrown his way, doesn't catch it.
Right.
Hands of wood. And, the other guy, Price, doesn't play, just stands next to Bill. I mean, this is now becoming ridiculous that you have a wide receiver who's active who does nothing.
And you would love to know what the deal is.
They hate him. They hate him. All right, there's no other reason. They hate
him. So we're 15 minutes into the show. Can we move past all the positives and start getting into the negatives?
Well, we talked about...
Because I kind of agree with Andy a little bit.
But no, we've talked about this in general. Over this last month and a half, you're probably going to build momentum and either confidence or false confidence, whichever, we'll let you know in January. And that's what we're getting. We're going to see it again. They're a 21-point favorite against the Colts. They're going to blow them out. And if you want to, you can just say, woo, this is the best team in football because they're outscoring people by 40 points.
Right.
Or you can say, well, Julian Edelman's playing DB. They have no linebackers. Their all-pro linebacker has three tackles, same as this wide receiver turned DB. They have no guys chipping in on offense. Ocho's inactive. I mean, there's things you need to just look at.
Yeah, I mean,
acknowledge.
The depth is taking a hit a little bit on defense. We can all see that. Something that concerns me a little bit is, as well as I thought the offense played on Sunday, and they were outstanding. The passing at Brady and the receivers were outstanding.
Nobody lights up a defense that's coordinated by an offensive line coach like Tom Brady.
And you guys say that they didn't run well. I think they ran okay.
They were terrible.
No.
If you take Brady's rushing out, they averaged less than 3 yards a carry.
I think even Brady said that he felt that they ran okay, and that's kind of what also opened up some of the passing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's just what the quarterback said.
Well,
so.
Results were.
Right. Yeah. You can watch the game or just take their words.
Your lead running back averaged 3 yards a carry, and as a team, you average less than 3 yards a carry if you take out Brady's scrambles.
Well, but that's part of it.
It's not. That's not running. That's not part of the running game.
You know, so
it's just like Philadelphia has the number one rushing attack in football, but if you took Michael Vick out of it, they wouldn't be anywhere near number one.
But
you took Michael Vick out on Sunday, and how did they run?
I think when they ran pretty, you know, they didn't have any big gains, but I think they ran okay. You know.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree on that. What concerns me a little bit on the passing side, because that's their bread and butter, is this was another team that had, just like the Patriots, a ridiculously banged up secondary, and they sat back and played zone. Andy made the comment about, I'm still concerned about Deion Branch. Well, if you play zone with Deion Branch, he'll beat you. He's proven that time and time again. You can't play zones against Welker and Branch and live to tell about it. So I still remain concerned, as I did a couple of weeks ago when I started talking about this offense is looking increasingly defendable. I think if you had a regular lineup out there, you might have been able to do some different things with Philadelphia. They were missing two of their three top corners, and they looked like it. They had all kinds of problems in coverage, communication, and otherwise, and their scheme was not conducive to playing against the Patriots. Now, you're going to see the same thing this week against Indianapolis. That's another zone team. It's a Tampa 2 scheme that Tom Brady will rip apart, absolutely rip apart. He'll have as many yards as he wants to throw for. It depends on how quickly they get the lead and how fast they pull back on the throttle, because they won't have any. They won't be able to stop him.
Now, it should be a cakewalk this week, you know. So,
but it's not only it's a bad team. It's not just that they're 0-11. If they were 0-11 and they had some guys that could go out there and play physical at the line with the receivers, I'd say, well, maybe they can hang around. Like Kansas City is a terrible team, but they were able to stay competitive the last 2 weeks because their defense played really strong against the Patriots and against Pittsburgh, obviously more so against Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Indianapolis doesn't do that. They can't play like that.
Yeah.
That's not their style. So not only they don't have the weapons to keep up on offense with the quarterback being out, they don't have the personnel to play the way that you have to play against the Patriots.
The other rumor that came out during the game was that Drew Rosenhaus was spotted on the sideline of the Patriots. So, of course, the TO to New England rumors started.
Did you see any updates on this?
No.
I was told yesterday by a pretty reliable source that he made a comment that there's an AFC East team has expressed interest.
Well, I heard.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. All I heard was that one team was interested, but not where they were from.
Yeah, I heard one AFC East team, but that's not. I don't know for a fact that he said that.
Huh. Well, I mean, I could see the Jets taking a shot. Sanchez needs all the help he can get.
See, I can't see that, to be
I
honest.
I love when you say little phrases like that.
But
I agree with the Sanchez part, but I can't see
yeah,
a TO
I can't
going.
Really see any team doing that. Didn't he just, like, get out of the hospital for another incident?
He did?
TO? Yeah.
Oh, there was some talk of that. I don't know how.
What happened?
There was another, like, depression, suicide
yeah.
issue.
Someone saved him?
I'd be
stunned.
That's
unfortunate.
I'd be really stunned. I mean, you have a receiver in Chad Ochocinco who hasn't been able to get into the system, who you're paying, by the way.
Right.
And I also just think, can you imagine on paper if Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco, and Terrell Owens all play for the Patriots within, whatever it is, 13 months of each other? That would be amazing.
That would be. But if they did bring T.O. in, I think Chad Ochocinco goes to IR because I can't have them both around.
It's true. That hamstring injury has really been
really
bad.
Really bad. Yeah. I don't see it happening.
No. Even though I think they need help. I just said I'm not really comfortable going with Welker and Branch
but
and nothing
he's not
else.
The guy, right?
Taquan Underwood is.
I'd be surprised. What'd you think of Bill sort of put that one as much on Brady's plate as
I'd have punched him in the face if I were Brady.
It was not a good throw. I know that you and I argued over it, but it was not a good throw. It was way out in front of him.
Should have been caught.
Yeah, he should have
to the inside, not past.
Should have been caught.
It looked like
absolutely should have been caught. Yes.
Catch the ball.
It should have been caught.
He didn't have his hands right either. He was like figuring out what to do with his hands.
Looks like it did in the preseason when he dropped half the passes thrown his way.
Yeah. It's too bad because he would have become an instant star and everybody would have thought he's the savior.
It's too bad it wasn't number 17 because he would have caught it in stride and celebrated in the end zone for a touchdown.
Can you only imagine what Eldridge in North Carolina was doing when that ball was in the air?
Oh, my God.
Riding the roller coaster. Yes, yes. No.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree with Andy. You got two wide receivers, you know, real wide receivers right now. And one
never makes it through a year healthy in Branch. He always has something, and he's had a hip lately.
Yeah.
And the other in Welker is small, so you never know when he's going to. I mean, I know he's been very durable. I'm still scared to death of it.
Yeah.
Plus the whole physical thing. I'm not even taking into account if teams, like Paul said, can get physical with him at the line and take those guys away.
That's what I'm worried about.
The other thing that kind of, like, is odd, you know, Matthew Slater, first game of the year, has a bomb, I don't know what it was, 63 yards.
I agree with
like
you that's odd.
They never try that again. Well, they did try it again
but
once.
But not much.
Why not try that again?
I agree that that's a little bit odd. Now, Matthew Slater's not the answer.
No, but.
But you would think, it's clear that they agree with us in this whole term because they are going, you don't go and put Taquan Underwood out there if you didn't think that was an issue.
Right.
And it's strange to me that you tried it, let's just say 3-4 times all year with Slater. The first time you tried it, you get a 48-yard catch out of it, and you don't really go back to it. That's odd to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean
his ball security is just not an issue.
Well, maybe, but he did.
That it's going to hurt you that bad that you can't throw a bomb
to him? You're saying he only catches it half the time we throw it to him, and a half of those halves, he fumbles after he catches it, so why throw it to him?
Well, he did that once, right?
I don't know.
You know,
I mean,
with a guy like him, you can throw it as far as you want. You know no one else is going to catch it if he doesn't.
I also don't think he looks all that fast and comfortable behind a defense.
You don't know that.
Well, if you throw
it far. He's not the fastest guy in the league. He's not the fastest guy in the field on most nights.
Well, I think he is.
No, he's not.
When it comes to other defenders, he's probably, you know, always going to be the faster guy.
Okay.
Using that logic, why doesn't Taylor Price play? He runs a 4.4.
No, I'm right with you. I'm right with you. It's baffling.
Don't you just kind of think that he's one of those fast guys? Like, there's a lot of fast guys in the
league. But I also don't
like,
even
he's not
think
Mike
he's,
Wallace.
And I don't think he's all that athletic. Somebody asked yesterday how come he doesn't play corner, like, because Edelman has, and he played safety for a while. He's not that athletic. I certainly wouldn't put him in the slot. He has zero lateral quickness. He's a straight-ahead guy, and we see that all the time. When he has to change direction, he can't.
Right.
And I think he'd get killed. The reason these slot receivers play slot corner is because they can move laterally, and in that position, you have to go back, left, and right at all times.
I mean, we saw when the few times that they used Slater at kickoff returns, he would get his head knocked off.
All he can do is run down fast.
And the ball knocked out.
Yeah. Yes, but you want to throw him the ball more so it can get knocked out.
Yeah, but that's not that's a ball security.
Just call it a punt.
Yeah. No, I mean...
I don't see it
as being the same thing. That ball, you know, I can't
throw
the ball to the guy.
I just don't know why they haven't tried it more, you know, with him.
You know, I don't necessarily want to take
him. We're missing the point. They have a third-round receiver who we know can catch the ball,
but we don't know if he fumbles, and all he does is stand next to the coach holding his helmet.
But
my point is...
Why do they hate him?
Right, but... my point is, assuming that there's a reason why they won't put Price out there,
then
why don't they try Slater a little bit more?
It's very simple. Play Taylor Price or cut him. There's no in between. No. You clearly don't want to play him, so then just cut him. Open up a roster spot for somebody else. Sign T.O. Sign a Jag. You don't want to play him. Why is he on the team? He has no value if you choose not to play him on offense.
I think the thing is, and I have no idea if this is true, just speculation that they see the talent, they know he's got talent, but there is whether it's a behavior, a refusal to learn, just not doing the right things in practice. Those are the things that are keep him out of the game. It's not his ability.
Okay, but you're waiting for the Paul Perillo year four jump he's suddenly going to flick a switch and get it.
You're waiting.
Well, you know what? You have two receivers you're waiting on that aren't going
to
get it.
You're hoping to break them down. You're hoping to break them down like they do in the military and build them back up. I that's my only explanation. What other explanation is there?
Brady hates him.
There is no explanation.
Well, but why? Why does Brady hate him?
There is no explanation.
Should I pose our theory post game, Paul?
But they're not just keeping this guy out there just to keep him out.
He had sex with Giselle.
Well, all right.
I thought we were keeping that one off the air.
You know, no.
That's what it seems like. Is he's done something?
Yeah. But
why is he even active?
Yeah, I don't know.
Patrick Chung could warm up 3 weeks ago.
Maybe
make him active in just the outside chance you might need him.
Like I said, they could be playing a mental game with this guy right now.
For how long?
I don't
know. How long do you give a guy? If that's the case, and maybe he's a total dink, I find it hard to believe. If anything, he may not get it. I don't think it's an effort thing. I think he's a pretty good kid, just on observing from afar. But how long do you go? You can't take 2, 3, 4 years to try to develop this guy.
Look, Andy, I'm right with you.
I like him. I want to see him get a chance. But if you're not going to give him a chance, cut him. You're wasting a roster
spot. We saw
spot.
Things just in the preseason that say he can play.
Yes.
I mean, you don't make those plays if you don't have ability. He made some couple really nice. That one in the end zone where he had to reach back.
The ball was by him and he caught it. Still.
Right. And got his feet in.
Right. And I posed a theory. Why can't maybe he can't block? And maybe they say you got to be able to block. But he went to an option offense in college at Ohio. He's got to be able to at least get in the way.
There's something else, and it's got to be with what he's doing in practice, or just being a malcontent when.
And
it
if
comes
you're trying to break him down,
you do this, and he says no.
If you're trying to break him down, well, couldn't you break him down publicly? Because Bill had the opportunity yesterday. He didn't even answer the question. What goes into the decision to not play Taylor Price? And all he said was, what goes into it is Taquan played more than...
Well, you're not going to set a precedent by talking about one guy. But I think they are doing it publicly when they make him active, and he's the only guy that doesn't play.
You're not setting a precedent. He's ripped guys publicly.
Only after they've left or from another team.
No, if I had Reggie White, I'd play Reggie White. He didn't play Richard Seymour every down because he wasn't Reggie White. That's a rip job.
Nah, not really. Nah,
but that's him saying he's not capable of playing at every down.
Yeah.
I thought that was a rip job.
I will say this
depends on the question. Somebody was probably asking, Reggie White.
That was exactly,
he's not like Reggie White.
No, the question was exactly what Andy said. I know exactly the situation he's talking about.
But the bigger issue, he ignores the question. The question's irrelevant because he ignored it yesterday when the person asked him.
He's not going to tell you why.
Seymour was complaining about not playing on third downs. We then went to Bill and asked, why Seymour wasn't playing on third down. And he said, if I had Reggie White, I'd play him on all three downs. That's exactly how that scenario went.
So he's saying only a guy of Reggie White's caliber at that position plays all three
and
downs.
And he's saying Richard Seymour is not Reggie White.
And he's saying Richard Seymour isn't Reggie White.
All right, well.
But the public comment that I think that is relevant here, what are we breaking him down for or from, when 3 weeks ago, the offensive coordinator came out unsolicited and said, we need to find more opportunities to get Taylor Price involved in the offense.
Good and point, we don't Paul. Know if that was something that Bill was happy with Bill O'Brien saying.
Well, either way, there's something there. The offensive coordinator felt he needed to get more opportunities for this kid. Why doesn't the head coach agree if that's the case?
And they also praised his practice work in that area.
That's the question of the day. Why? We don't know. But there's got to be a reason. They're not doing it out of spite.
But if you're trying to break a guy down, you're not saying that we're trying to get him more opportunities.
Right.
We need to get him more chances.
You say he'll get a chance to play
when
he earns the right to
play.
That sounded like he's earned it. We just got to find a way to give it to him. And they won't give it to him. Taquan Underwood comes in and plays.
Why do you think that is?
They hate Taylor Price.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, that's, I'm sure someday Michael Holley will write a book or something.
And it'll not have any information in it like the previous books.
No, maybe we'll find out.
Unless Price is somehow not on the Patriots at that time, maybe we can figure this out. Because that's the only guys that you find out anything about in those books.
Right.
You're right about that, Fred.
So, I just find it interesting. This is a team that roster spots are so valuable. And yet they have two receivers who have caught a total of 11 passes, Ocho with one. They were both inactive on Sunday with one, I guess, injured, Ocho Cinco, and the other was on the field in uniform but inactive. That's two roster spots. These guys don't contribute on special teams. They have zero value in the kicking game. So the Patriots play every week with 44 roster spots, correct?
Yeah.
That's a disadvantage on a team where I thought roster spots mattered.
Right.
So either poop or get off the pot.
It's a big mystery. It is a big mystery.
Now, I will say this. I'm not as concerned about it as Andy is in terms of the options. I think they have four options that
if they're
viable.
Healthy.
Now,
I'm not concerned if they're healthy because I think they're way better than they were last year.
I do think that they're defendable against, like I said, the physical man-press teams. I think that's a problem. But I don't feel better if I have Chad Ochocinco or Taylor Price in the mix. I think they're defendable, too.
How do you know? Well, we know why Chad Ochocinco is defendable. I mean, Taylor Price. How do you know?
Yeah. Well, that's all.
I saw another replay of that catch on the sideline. I still don't know how he stepped out of bounds. He did like this weird reach around plie thing. Is that what it's called?
Plie.
Or it's like the way you start when you shot put, that slide thing where you kick your leg way back. He did that to get out of bounds.
Let's see.
But yeah, just to get back, the four if they're totally healthy hitting January, I'm fine with the four because I think the growth of Gronkowski and Hernandez makes you better than last year. Well, Hernandez is healthy and
Hernandez was banged up last year.
I think you're good. No question. Yeah, but I just find it hard to believe all four of those guys are going to hit January playing the way I want them to play.
Well, I mean, and you just have to have that guy that can make a team pay that's taking a lot of risks on defense.
No, I don't think you do. I don't think you do.
No?
I think this team with Tom Brady, if they play a good game, can win.
Right.
If you turn the ball over and stuff, then you're in trouble. But if they play their game, I think they can win with the offense they have. I'm just concerned you're not going to have this offense in place come January.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the phones.
Is Shaka Khan buying the Jags too?
Is she related to Shaheel?
I assume. How many cons you know? Genghis, Shaka, and this guy. Paul just gives me a look.
Travis is in Pennsylvania. Hey, Travis.
How you doing?
Good.
How many cons you know?
How many cons?
I know a con artist, and it's Andy Hart.
I know one. He used to work here. You hired him.
I know a lot, actually, but I don't know if they're spelled the same.
Yesterday, and the only thing I could think of was not seeing number 17 out on the field was that you guys are going to blow up today about that.
Yes, I was blowing up at the it's ridiculous. Do you have an answer for me? Bring me an answer.
I don't have an answer, but, you know, I can ask Bill. I'm supposed to be up to meet Bill this weekend up there in Foxborough. My girlfriend was nice enough to buy me tickets. We're supposed to stay at Patriots Hotel, and we're supposed to meet Bill, Tom, and Wes. I don't know for how long, but we're supposed to meet them all together. And I can ask him anything I want. Maybe he'll be a little more generous with me than he is with the media types.
Was this some type of program that you won, or you spend like $1 billion on your credit card? Or how did you get the opportunity to do this?
Well, I haven't seen her credit card statement, so I'm kind of holding my breath on that one. And I probably never will. But hey, she probably spent way too much money on me, that I agree, but, you know, I'm grateful for it. But I did have one question while I was calling you guys today.
Still didn't figure out how you're doing this, but okay, go ahead.
So, we're supposed to stay at Patriots Place, and they call us a couple days ago, and they said, hey, we're going to cancel your reservations because we way overbooked these rooms. So, I know this is a weird request, but do you guys have like a number or an email or something that I can get in touch with someone at the Patriots organization maybe about that? Because I've been trying to talk to this general manager and he is just not.
Are you going to?
Well, just so you know, even though it is the Renaissance at Patriot Place, the Patriots do not own or run that hotel.
Oh.
I think it's a Renaissance. So who owns Renaissance? Is that a Marriott company? I think it is. We have no say whatsoever in what they're doing over there.
Not even you guys at PFW with all of your pull. And
especially Moxie. Us at PFW. Otherwise, we'd be staying there all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry about that. What's your status right now? You're homeless?
Pretty much. It's about an eight-hour drive. I really don't want to drive all the way up there, see the game, meet the guys.
Well, there's a lot of
tailgate and then drive all the way back.
There's
so we're trying to find a hotel on the fly right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of decent hotels in the area. One that I like, it's a Holiday Inn in Mansfield, but it's really one of the nicer Holiday Inns. And so they've helped me out in the past with people coming in. So you might try them, Holiday Inn in Mansfield.
Okay.
It's probably like 5 miles from the stadium, but also right on Route 1 close to the stadium, there's a Holiday Inn Express like 2 miles from the stadium. So you should be okay. I think a lot of people who might have been coming in for the Indy game might have decided not to. So you'll probably get a lot of room cancellations.
How about your house, Fred? You're not that far.
Yeah, no.
Well, the biggest problem we're running into is the fact that I don't know how much money was to stay at Patriots Place, but I'm guessing it wasn't that cheap. And they're like, oh, we're going to give you a full refund. I'm like, oh, okay, when are we going to get that? Oh, about 7 to 14 business days. I'm like, damn, what are they sending? By mule? They can't overnight it. They can't wirelessly route it.
Yeah, that really is crummy to have a reservation, and then they made a mistake, and now you have to suffer because of it.
That's yeah, right. I figured we'd get a free room or a free weekend right. out of it another time, or yeah, maybe a ticket
would,
or something like that.
I would
like
not
that,
stand for that. I would, you know, go up the chain on that one.
That's what I'm working with. I sent an email. I'm sending a letter out to, it's addressed to Robert Kraft. Whether that'll actually get to him, this would be another story. He's a busy
can't hurt.
Guy. Yeah. But, yeah. Well, hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Travis, good luck.
Love your radio show. You guys keep up the yelling and screaming and all the other stuff that everyone else bitches about.
Don't forget the question.
Yeah, let us know what Bill and Tom say why Taylor Price isn't playing.
Hey, maybe you could take a couple emails and stuff, and I'll ask the best questions that you guys put up. I'll be listening to the podcast later today. So.
All right.
Sure.
Thanks, Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot. All take care.
I still don't know how he has this unless he's just kept fooling around with us.
I think he might be.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Daniel writes in, definitely a good win on Sunday, though I think there were a lot of plays to be made by Philly that Vince Young left out there.
Whoa. Vince Young?
Yeah.
Left some. DeSean Jackson plenty.
Absolutely.
He stinks.
It's good to see Vereen getting more reps, but that still doesn't explain why Ridley can't get into the game. Anyway, I'll probably talk to you guys tomorrow, but I'm still interested in discussing the Wilson Hart Index with Andy if he'd like to. So I'm leaving some contact info below. Gronk is 2 TDs from breaking the tight end record, just saying.
Yes. So. Although, not the record. It's not like he's breaking the home run record of Babe Ruth.
Breaking news according to Ian Rappaport, who is retweeting Greg Rosenthal from Pro Football Talk. The Colts have fired defensive coordinator Larry Coy.
It's Twitter. There wasn't room for the ER.
I guess not. So, whatever.
I don't know what
going into
do.
This game, they've fired
That's
the
really
defensive
gonna
coordinator.
That's really going to hurt them.
Yeah. Joe from Merrimack, great show as always. Two things quickly. If Andy's statement about the lower-rung defenses not winning Super Bowls is correct, then you can forget about the Patriots and the Packers, as the Pats are the worst in the Packers are the 30th in total defense. Now here's my question. What is
can
wrong
you stop
with
for a second?
Yep, go
That's
ahead.
A great point, because someone's going to break that.
Probably.
Someone's going to break that trend, because, I suppose.
Unless they don't.
Unless Pittsburgh or Baltimore win, but.
San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Me either, but.
But I can see, like, New Orleans or Green Bay or the Patriots. I could see that happening. Someone's going to break that trend. New Orleans can't be very good in yards allowed either. That's a terrible defense.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
His real question is, what is wrong with Logan Mankins? Too many games I've seen him whiffing on blocks or just getting plain run around. Any ideas? And Costas has always been an idiot and always will be. I thought the problem with Mankins was the penalties, but I thought he played fine on Sunday. I didn't.
That's not been Logan's only problem.
No.
Could he be hurt?
He's
never in the locker room anymore.
I wanted to talk to him about it, but that's something you got to talk to him one-on-one.
Lower back injury,
and even then, he's probably not going to tell you.
No, he wouldn't. But I think there's got to be something. You can't just fall off the map. And I think it is weird that he signs his contract. And he all of a sudden isn't in the locker room hardly at all. You hardly ever see him. And that would lead me to believe maybe he's in the training room or a tub or a massage a lot or getting something done. And that would fall in line with not having, you know, lower back injuries if you're a guard, moving all around, something like that, that we can't really see. You know, the few times we see him, it's not like he is in a walking boot or he's in something. I just wonder.
I saw him after the game and... You know, walking to the bus, we had a little pizza box, and he looked fine.
But you can't always tell if somebody has a back problem.
No, it's true.
If they're walking upright or stiff, you don't really...
Backs are one of the trickiest things.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But this is pure speculation, by the way.
Right. Yes, please, Paul. Diet Coke, thank you. Cavern in Gainesville. I want to thank Fred for picking against our team. I felt like we played our first complete game in a while, and he deserves the credit. Now to my question. I'm like Tebow. You know? No matter what it is, I get the credit.
You get credit for things, right, that you don't have anything to
now
do.
Now to my question. Can you remember a time when a player was passed over as badly as Price has been? I'd love to know the truth about what the guy did wrong. I'd also like to declare war on the Colts. I could care less that, he said, something Manning, not Peyton, a male part.
Penis?
Yes.
You've called him that 1,000 times on that show. Why do you stop now?
I don't know.
Suddenly he's a sympathetic figure because he had his neck fused?
Anyway, he could care less if he isn't playing. I want to beat them just as bad as I do in the years that he does play. Thanks for your work. It's great as usual. Did we play the Colts the year that Castle was our quarterback?
Yes, it was kind of a big game. You might have remembered it.
Yes, we lost. 18-15.
So but we don't were you competitive. Remember?
Yeah, oh yes. Yeah.
We were competitive without
and they blew it.
Our quarterback.
They blew it. You remember they had the timeout and the Dave Thomas penalty, and they looked helter-skelter on the field. They
didn't. Oh, that's right, in Indy. Right, yeah. Right.
Yep. Adam Vinatieri won the game.
I remember that.
The overrated kicker.
So
52-yard field goal.
But we were competitive without our starting quarterback.
Yes, we were, Fred. We went 11-5.
Thank you.
We all remember that we went 11-5 that year.
So maybe we should kick their butts, just for the hell of it.
Just so you know, I think they're going to.
What do you think the Colts' record would be if Bill Belichick was their coach?
Probably 3-8.
Oh, no. I think they'd be at least a .500 team, at the very least.
I think
they have a corpse coaching.
Well, it,
they have an absolute corpse coaching.
But here's the thing.
He doesn't
was a corpse with Manning.
It's not
right.
But it's not just Bill Belichick coming in and coaching. It's Bill Belichick preparing for what could be, you know, and being
ready. No, I'm talking about with Curtis Painter playing quarterback.
Well, he
would be
no,
at least.
No, the point is he wouldn't have Curtis Painter as
he's
a backup.
But literally.
But I'm taking it the same exact situation, the same games, the same players playing on both sides. Bill Belichick coaching, preparing each week with the players that have played this year for Indy would minimum be .500. Minimum, well, in my life.
There's no doubt they would be a better team. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
Painter is not a talentless hack.
Not only that, Jim Caldwell, I don't know. He's
asleep
just there.
At the wheel.
Yeah,
yes.
He's just there.
And it's not just him. They lost Moore, who was a major factor. One of our columnists wrote this. Losing Manning and Moore, you lost all your offensive mind.
That was me.
Oh. I didn't think it was that good. Thought it was kind of obvious.
You usually fall asleep in the middle of my previews, but that was me that wrote that.
Shows you it only took me to week 11 to find something that I had to promote.
I wrote something like it was like losing two offensive coordinators as well as your Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yep.
But on the lines of Curtis Painter that I thought was interesting, I was just looking at the tweets. I don't know if you saw it, but Caserio was just talking about Brian Hoyer and Curtis Painter, two guys he felt very, very similar about. They were the same guy. They thought they both were three-year starters. They both had a lot of production in the Big Ten. So there's no doubt in my mind. If Bill Belichick was coaching right now with Curtis Painter, they would be at the minimum a .500 team, at minimum. I think they'd probably be better than a .500 team.
Well, Curtis Painter's problem is mental. He just can't deal with the speed of the game, it seems to me, in the games that I've seen him.
I really haven't watched much to be able to make that determination. You're probably right.
You know?
I couldn't tell you.
Aaron in Sterling, Virginia. Fred, you have been right on point today. I would have thought the sum of our ability to see the games within the games would have rubbed off on the other PFW boys, but I guess not. Brady's little 5-yard scrambles are a good thing for this team. He can always hit Deion for 63, and sometimes taking 6 on a short run is what is needed. I know exactly what you're talking about during last year's Jets game. There were times he had 10 yards ahead of him once right at the goal line. Paul and Andy, keep working at it, boys. You aren't too far behind. Spend a little less time pumping up guys like Bradford, Mendenhall, and Price, and start looking at winners like, I don't know, St. Tebow. Got to be a bit more objective, you know. All right, boys. Have a good day and keep up the good but lopsided contributions. Thank you, Aaron. It's appreciated.
I've always said I would take Tebow on my team as an H-back.
Well, the Broncos did. He just happens to throw once in a while.
I think I was the one.
And they're trying to get rid of him.
Didn't I make the comment that I thought Brady had more mobility, showed more mobility on Sunday than I've seen him in the recent past?
You did?
Yeah, okay. So evidently he was agreeing with me instead of bashing me, but that's okay.
Darius from Virginia, another Virginia listener. Finally caught PFW on TV. Now I can finally put a face to the voice. I think I'd rather listen to you on radio. Looking at you guys was rather distracting. Anyway.
Fred, you're really bothering people with your looks.
Why is it just second... me? He said you guys.
This is the second time today someone has criticized your appearance.
He said you guys.
You got into a twisting match this morning with somebody who, what'd they say about you?
Said I looked old.
And asked me if I had to change your depends.
Right,
you...
right, right. And the ironic thing about that, if there's anybody on this staff that needs depends, it's Andy.
Right.
For the, but the it's number not of age, times he poops his pants.
It's not age-related.
No, that's even the sadder thing.
The younger, the youngest guy,
right,
needs the depends.
Needs the depends.
I have a digestive problem. What do you want me to tell you?
Plus, you had too much product in your hair last week.
I did. People criticized. I actually saw it. I thought it looked pretty good. I forgot to do it today. Anybody got product?
Anyway, what I
know
like
you don't. You don't need to shake your head behind the glass. You don't have hair in my product.
Ask the Andover basketball team.
Yeah, I was just going to say, ask those kids.
What I liked about Sunday was seeing Brady run for 10 yards when nothing is open. There were so many times in previous games where nothing was open and he wouldn't run for a few yards. I'd rather see him scramble and run for 4 or 5 yards and be third and three than third and eight. It's a lot more easier to convert in third and three. And Andy, of course I prefer he throw it, but when it's not there and 5 yards are easy to get by rushing, then do it. But slide, baby, slide. Don't be a knucklehead and go like Vic head first. Also, why are they not using Slater? I mean, he ran the same route Underwood did, and he caught the passes, so why not him? Well, we talked about that earlier.
Underwood wasn't at fault on that drop. It was Brady. Belichick said that.
Do you think that they really want to give Underwood another chance?
No, I'd actually be surprised if he makes it to game day.
Really? All right. Bob, because, you know, getting open is half the battle, right?
And what has Taylor Price done every time we've ever seen him play?
I thought he got open.
Get open and catch the football.
Yeah, that's why.
So apparently,
it's something else.
There aren't only two things you look for in your receivers.
But why do you see? I just don't understand why you just automatically assume that.
Because I automatically assume that they don't just not play guys for spite. I always think that there's a reason. Gee, well, I wonder why.
But what would you consider spite?
You know, just for the hell of it, I'm not going to play this guy.
Okay, well, could spite be that the quarterback is not overly comfortable with this player? Has it been from the start and really hasn't allowed him a chance to develop any sense of rapport with him? Is that spite or not?
No.
See, I think that's spite.
No, because I trust my quarterback. If he tells me I'm not comfortable with this guy,
but
I
he
trust
won't
him.
Let him get a chance to get comfortable with him.
But there has to be a Paul. They took a guy off the street and inserted him in the game. How can Brady be any more comfortable with that guy than he is with Taylor
Price? The
only
difference, and if people want to make fun of Andy and I, the difference between me and you in this particular argument is you automatically assume that that was the right thing to do. I don't.
What, not playing Price?
Bringing in the guy off the street and playing him over him.
Yeah.
That means that he's not getting something. See, that doesn't mean that to me. It means it's an error in judgment to me. Because I'm with Andy. Every time I've seen Taylor Price on the field, he's looked like he belongs there.
I agree.
Tyquan Underwood doesn't.
See, this is where we agree.
He's not an NFL player.
When it comes to ability, we're both on the same page. That's why I am saying it's got to be something else.
Okay. I agree with that. My fear is that he just doesn't get it. We saw it a couple weeks ago. He got on the field, and he was in motion on the snap. He got a penalty. There was somebody else, but he was the main factor. That's an actual issue. And if that's the issue, then cut him. Because a year and a half into his NFL career, he's not going to get it. I know he was late to get here by a little bit, but no later than Tyquan Underwood was. And he's playing.
Yeah, see, and even then, I break that into two things, not getting it. Hurting your team because of stupid plays like that, you know, being offside, that's one thing. Not getting the playbook's another. If it's an issue of not getting the playbook, well, then put him in for a couple plays where it's a very simple thing and just ask him to do it, you know, like they did with Underwood. I mean, I'm sure Underwood has not digested the playbook, you know, in that short a period of time. So they could have done what they did with Underwood with Price. I have no doubt about that. So, but it might be more to what you're saying. It's not, you know, playbook related as it is to just being smart when you're on the field. And he must be doing that in practice for them to know that he might do it in the game. He must be screwing up in practice.
Oh, yeah. We've heard rumors and rumblings of that. Right?
I haven't. You might
okay,
have.
I have.
Yeah.
I've heard rumblings that he gets chewed out by either Brady or an offensive coach often on the practice field.
Well, I mean, there you go.
So get rid of him.
But maybe they
having him stand next to you on the sideline, if you have no intentions of putting him in the game, is a waste of space.
If you believe that he's never going to get it, you're right. Get rid of him. But maybe they think that Jesus, his ability, maybe...
Why you bring the Lord into this?
Maybe he can get it to a point where we can get him out there and use some of that talent. You know,
and put him out there. Because the one thing you haven't tried to slap him into action is playing him. Maybe he would feel really good if he caught a ball.
And this is where I'll go to Paul.
And like Bill always says, there's a lot of guys like that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, Paul, to say what Paul usually just says.
Oh, just say it.
This is where I agree with Paul. Is like sometimes guys only get it once they get out there and have the reps. Right. And then all of a sudden it just starts to click. And Bill has said there are guys that's the way they learn.
Right.
You know,
but the only one who doesn't get that chance is Taylor Price.
And we all know that
right?
The other guy has been lauded for his practice play all season.
Ojo.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I'm surprised we played so well on Sunday against the Eagles because we didn't have a great practice on Friday without Chad Ochocinco part of it. He didn't participate in that practice. I don't know how I don't know how we got by.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been hearing all year long about how great he's been at practice, and maybe we haven't been hearing it publicly, but Andy's right, there's an undercurrent of Taylor Price doesn't exactly get it, gets chewed out,
yeah,
or whatever. So at some point, just say, well, the guy who's getting it in practice has done nothing for you for 11 games. Let's try the guy who's not really doing everything he's supposed to do in practice. Maybe he's a gamer.
Right. No, yeah. Bobby says, Fred, good win this Sunday, even though you picked the Eagles to win. How dare you? But it's not all your fault. I think Mr. Negative and Andy Hart is rubbing off on you. Seriously, can Andy make any positive, objective points or constructive criticism for the team he works for? Objective to Andy is picking every little thing they didn't do perfect and make them seem awful. A couple weeks ago, when Andy was out and it was just Paul and Fred, the shows were awesome. You guys were on top of your game. You weren't fighting. Nothing fights every 2 minutes. And I heard great professional inside analysis of the team I love.
I doubt it.
I'm realistic. The Patriots may not have a chance of winning the Super Bowl this year or even making a run in the playoffs, but I love to watch this team each and every week. Last year, they won 14 games. I enjoyed each and every one of them. They've won 8 so far this year and could win the rest, and I'd enjoy myself each week, even if they didn't. All I'm saying is Andy Reid shouldn't be the only Andy fired this year. Please, Fred, get rid of Andy. He belongs on the national circuit, and that's not a compliment. Andy, take your Wilson Hart thingy.
I'll take it as one.
And get out of New England. Who's with me, Matt from Brooklyn? You'd take a national gig, wouldn't you?
No.
No?
Not unless I can stay living in Massachusetts.
You wouldn't move to, like, New York?
Probably not. I mean, if the money were
of course
knock me my socks off,
it
yes.
would.
Okay, then yeah, I would.
What?
It would.
Then
it was right in his hands.
I heard that Chris Mortensen, he lives in Atlanta.
Yeah, like a farm or something?
They actually built a studio in his house.
Oh,
like,
a lot of those.
A lot of those guys do that.
Open up the cabinets, and it's like a full-fledged studio that they can do a live thing anytime they want from his
house. A lot of these syndicated radio people do that. The company Delilah, who's one of those like soft radio ones, the guy out in Western Mass, the house party overnight, I forgot his name, they all do them out of their basements.
Well,
it's the greatest gig you could ever get.
Yeah, I mean, if you heard, like, even the overnight ones that we listen to, those guys aren't in studio. The Mike North always hands off to JT the Brick.
Yeah.
And they do a crossover, and they're clearly not in the studio together.
Right.
Well, I think that's because one's in Chicago and one's in L.A.
No, I know that, but that's what I'm saying. You don't have to be.
No, but these
you
people.
Can be,
but the live one has
shows.
A farm.
But you
right.
could
an
just as easy do it in Boston.
They retrofitted the basement as she just goes downstairs. She pulls a John
and
Rook.
I'm thinking if ESPN hired you, they could do like an ESPN North on your property. They could build a compound probably bigger than in Bristol. And have that place, you know, closer to Gillette.
That email was going to bother me until I realized he's one of Paul's fans.
Oh.
I mean, he wouldn't care.
You know, so he's to be dismissed if he likes someone else besides
him. No.
Right.
That's not what I meant by one of your fans.
The ego on him.
Yeah.
Bigger than his head.
Ego.
I meant what you consider the fans.
Stupid.
Because any
fan
who thought last year was a great year because they won a bunch of regular season games and couldn't care any less if they lost all the rest of the games this year.
Don't take him
super. That's not who I'm tailoring to. I'm sorry.
Don't take him super literally.
I want to win games. That's what I want to do.
With Taylor Price.
Look at you.
No, I want to win games over the long haul.
He takes it super over the top literal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey,
Vito!
Like the guy wasn't disappointed that they lost in the playoffs.
Sorry.
It was passionate Patriots
fan.
No,
he doesn't
sound. He was like, oh, well.
That's what he said.
No, I think
he's oh, well.
With the exception of him, which I was going to say before you took shots at me, with the exception of him wanting you to get fired, I thought the rest of the email was pretty balanced. No, I thought it was solid. I think it's a healthy way of looking at it. Instead of nitpicking every single thing, enjoy the games. Enjoy the ride. Now, I don't think the guy was happy that they lost to the Jets in the playoffs last
year. Sorry.
Because they won 14 games.
He said he wouldn't care if they lost the rest of the games. That's not my audience. I'm sorry. I don't have that viewpoint.
But I
can't possibly fathom how anyone would feel that way.
That is what he wrote, but I don't necessarily think that he meant it to be taken super literally.
All right. Well, then I don't think he meant it that I should be fired.
All right.
We shouldn't take that super literally.
I really don't think that he meant you to be fired. Okay.
Oh, I think he did. We'll do one more email at webradiopatriots.com. We'll take a break, and then we'll get to Jeff in Vegas on the phone. This is from TG and NJ. Wow, I was feeling good about my Pats after the Eagles win. Then I listened to PFW. We have no wide receivers.
That's why I said 15 minutes, and you guys already go negative.
We have no wide receivers.
Don't wash your hands of this.
Come on, let's listen to the email. We have no wide receivers. Taylor Price is despised. Branch just disappears. Ocho is zero. Drew Rosenhaus is coming in for tryouts. Gronk is done. His back is broken. There's absolutely no running game, even with Brady. The defense still stinks. No pass rush. If only we had Reggie White. And the only thing Matthew Slater can do is run real fast, period. Paulie still doesn't like Wes Welker.
And I don't even think he's that fast.
Even Homer Fred has turned his back on the team. And now we're hearing chants to fire Andy. Good old New England, only franchise in the league where a win is treated as a loss. All this negativity in this town sucks. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Right,
no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see that.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Lively show on a Tuesday. We're discussing big Patriots win over Philadelphia and everything else going on in the NFL. Right now, let's go to the phones at the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Jeff from Vegas is on the line. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
He's not swimming in money anymore.
Yeah, Andy, I may not be swimming in money today, but I am swimming in the belief that this season is starting to feel special.
Really? He was ready for that one.
So you're buying in, huh, to this defense and everything?
Well, yeah, and actually it's a really good sign when the true Patriots fans, like Fred and I, go against the team and are proven wrong. But it's all about accountability in this world, like Paul Perillo. When Jeff in Vegas is wrong, I admit it.
Wait a minute. Why is it a good sign when the homers are picking the other team?
When the homers are picking the other team and being completely, you know, proven wrong 180 degrees, that really bodes well. And what could be interesting here
Excellent point, Jeff.
Yeah, the next the next meaningful game we might play might be the weekend of January 15th, believe it or not.
Now, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Why is it a bad thing?
I think based
on
the last three playoff losses in a row, right, I think it might be a good thing. Let's switch it up. Let's be like a bowl team and just sort of see what we have and wait for that, you know, mid-January weekend maybe, rather than going, everything to the wall for, you know, to try and finish the regular season, you know, as well as we can with meaningless games. What do you guys think?
Well, I just wonder, I look back to the Castle season when we're dangerous, nobody wants to play us. Well, is that true? Because I don't think they were a great football team. You know, they went to Seattle and struggled in Seattle. I don't know that they were really a playoff caliber ready. And this year, they're going to roll right through, and I'm not sure they're going to be dangerous.
Do you think that this team will be better if and when Brandon Spikes, Patrick Chung, Devin McCourty come back?
Yes. Didn't you say no the other day?
No on the first one.
Oh.
Oh, you said no on Brandon Spikes?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You missed the PPGS.
Oh, please. When Brandon Spikes got hurt, he was the best defensive player on the field.
Well, that's ridiculous. But, yes, they'll be better when he comes back. He's the best defensive player they have.
Playing at that time.
That's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
It is. Go on.
That's no more ridiculous than no one has played the quarterback position this well. You can cut and paste these little segments of games however you want.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Now, I would go Andre Carter regardless of when you took that call.
At the time he was hurt, he was playing better than anybody on the Patriots defense.
No, he wasn't. Andre Carter's been the best player on this defense. Wire to wire.
He does one thing. I think Spikes
Andre Carter does
defense.
One thing.
Play the run, set
Spikes,
the edge.
Andre,
wait a minute.
Spikes is an inside linebacker.
Ding, ding, it's they're going to fight.
Spikes is an inside linebacker, was doing a lot more than, and he was,
that's insanity.
He was playing the best ball of his career, and he was playing the best ball of any
he
defensive
played,
player at the time he was hurt.
He played his best game. That's, I'll give you that. Go ahead, Jeff.
And the listeners, the few listeners can rip Andy Hart all they want, but mad props to whomever thought up that whole pregame social concept, whoever that
was. Oh, my God.
Paul Perillo thought
it was not.
That is not true.
It was
all of
us. It was not Andy Hart. It was a collaborative effort. Everybody had a hand in it that's in this room right now.
I just came up with the name.
Eric was irrelevant.
Well, here's the thing that Fred really did. Fred opened the door to the possibility that Andy and I didn't have to go on the road. And then Andy and I really went to work as to how we could justify that.
No, honestly, it started, I said, look, if you guys were here, what could we do, you know, to use you, you know, if you weren't traveling? What could we do? What are some of the things? And we've always thought about doing a pregame show.
It's been something that we thought about for a lot of years.
But we didn't want to cannibalize 98.5. But then we thought, and I think it was Paul's idea, what if we just put it on Facebook? You said that. I think
it was the social media. I didn't necessarily know how to do it because I don't, you know, everybody knows me. I don't know how to, I don't know right from wrong when it comes
and
to that.
And then I came up with the pregame social idea. Andy had nothing to do with it.
Andy had
I would disagree with both those, but I'm just going to keep quiet.
Andy had something to do with it, but I did. I was the one that mentioned social media.
Right.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well,
that is absolute fact because I said it to Fred.
I remember. I was sitting on my desk.
I didn't say to stream it on Facebook because I didn't really know that was a possibility.
Well, it does seem like traveling to the game doesn't really, you know, add as much with, like, the social media explosion.
It's not. You're right. And that's why we started thinking about this. Is it that, you know, do fans really need four guys at a game when you have all the stuff? You have it the second it happens, no matter where you are in the world. What could we do better? And that's why we started doing this.
Nice. And on to this listener-on-listener crime brought to us by Soap on a Slot.
Soap with a slot.
And
and
like Soap with a Slot, digression is part of what makes PFW great. So, you know, God forbid you have 130,000 downloads a day and three or four of them don't like it when you digress a little. Over to Brooklyn Matt. I mean, come on, man. God forbid, you know, we let people know where the premier sports book in the world right now is at the Venetian. I mean, even Kevin Collins goes to Vegas and watches his NCAA tourney games, you know, at a sports book. I don't get this Vegas hating.
He gets there at like 4 a.m., too.
Just let me give you a clue. Don't worry about anything Brooklyn Matt says. He's an idiot and a fraud.
Oh,
he's a fraud.
Well, how do you know?
Because he claims he's the world's greatest everything, he's directly descended from the pilgrims, he's dating supermodels, he ran a record company, and yet he's still clamoring to meet Eric Scalavino on a street corner in New York on some Saturday morning,
and he's
legitimately disappointed when he doesn't get to do it.
And yet he's listening to us.
He's a fraud, a fake, what are they, a troll?
Oh, hey, here's some more news. Dan Orlovsky to make his first start on Sunday.
Well, there you go.
Son of a...
I should have teased that better. Colts will have a quarterback change on Sunday.
Andy, speaking of idiots and trysts with other men, does Anthony in Naples, like, listen to the pregame show? Did he know that my picks that are boring him to death against, this is all for fun and amusement only, are hitting at 74%?
Yeah, what's the record now?
14-5, which I believe, even with two losses, I was 0-2. I gave out the Eagles and the under. Again, like Fred says, for fun and amusement only, still hitting at 74%. So I don't know if Anthony in Naples knows that these picks are sort of given out on the pregame show, you know, just specifically regarding the Patriots game. So when I call back on Tuesdays, it's more just to be holding myself accountable. And believe it or not, Anthony in Naples, you know, one of his favorite words I've noticed, you know.
Wow.
You know.
Wow. Pretty soon he's going to be calling Anthony with nipples.
He's going to be on the line. He's going to be on momentarily.
hey, Anthony, some people might have some interest in, like, piggybacking or mirroring or even emulating, again, for fun and amusement, some of these picks. So, you know, they're real picks with real money and real casinos with real accountability, Anthony and Naples, you know?
Wow.
Cut him off there because that was all right. A good ending.
Good, Jeff.
That was a good shoot interview, like in wrestling.
You know, I think I just thought of shoot, something. Like why don't That's we set up them, right? some of these callers to go head-to-head on the radio?
Tremendous.
You know,
only rule is you can't
ready.
Swear.
Yeah, we have to be ready with the button.
The interaction is just taken off. Remember we had the interactive mock draft?
Yes.
You know, and now we have listener-on-listener crime. We're going to have the interactive fights. We'll make it like Monday Night Raw. We'll have a matchup every week. This week, it's Brooklyn Matt against TG and
speaking
NJ.
Speaking of callers who get mentioned by other callers, Eldridge in North Carolina is on the phone. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how you doing, fella?
Okay, honestly, when you saw Underwood running down free in the middle of the field and the ball coming toward him right in his hands, what were you thinking?
Touchdown all the way, there go my speedster. Then he dropped it. I'm like, well, it needs more reps.
It needs more reps. Eldridge, tell the truth. You had already dialed 508-298-03, and then you went, oh, poop, when he dropped it.
I was going to say, I told you so, but then again, he showed me.
Yes, he did. Andy and I looked at each other and were like, can you imagine what Eldridge is doing? I mean, immediately when he dropped
That's
the ball.
That's how famous Eldridge is.
Oh, right. The very first thing that Andy and I thought of was Eldridge in North Carolina.
Yep, and I jumped straight up out the chair. I'm like, darn, I can't believe he dropped that.
Yeah.
But
like, I can't believe he did either.
Rough, but I was listening to y'all earlier, besides watching my Pats win and listening to y'all. That what makes my day. But I got to agree with you. I think that was Andy. I think Spike's best game was that game he got hurt he played in. Other than that, no. I think the defense might be a little better, but at least Spike's way yet.
Well, you're right there with Paul. Paul and you are lockstep.
Oh. I said he played a very good game that day, but to say that he was the best defense, he was playing better than anybody on defense.
I believe that.
I mean,
yeah, but you believed it 3 weeks earlier when he was terrible.
Maybe if you want to say a one-play snapshot, you know, he knocked over the guy, the tight end.
He was building up ever since the Oakland game, and he was getting better and better, getting more confident.
Okay.
And a guy like him, when he's playing confident, that's a big part of his game, and I think that – you know, I was really excited about what he was doing.
Can we have a serious debate here?
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
My question is, were we watching the same game? Because I saw a lot of missed tackles, arm grabbing, chasing out of spite.
I saw a lot of first hits in the backfield. Sometimes he wouldn't actually make the tackle, but he'd slow the guy down to make it a no gain or very short gain. Wow. He was making a difference out there. I don't care what anyone says. I know it.
But I could say that too, and I could just say I don't care what anyone else says. My opinion is right.
I mean, you guys can come in with your biases on Spikes, and you know.
But
I
it's not. First of all, Andy likes him. Andy and I argued about Spikes on Sunday, and he's on your side.
You
don't even know who's your ally.
I can understand that, you know, because he hasn't performed up to what we were hoping up to this year. But I think he was coming on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best game that he played was the last game, and that's where everybody thinks he is now.
Me too. Yeah, I think his play was the last game. But getting back to Price, I heard y'all saying that the Brady and the offense coordinator yelling at him. He might be a gamer. Send him in and let him play. At least let him play. And I agree with whoever said, Chad out there for 11 weeks. He ain't showing nothing. He did good in practice. So why not get Taylor Price a chance? You know, let him run out there a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Santonio Holmes from Pittsburgh was the same way. They put him out there. Look at him now.
Yeah. Now I know, Eldridge, in the past, you've been for bringing back Moss. What do you think about bringing in T.O.?
T.O.?
Yeah.
I would love that, too. Moss, I would love completely.
Okay.
But T.O., yeah, send Chad home.
Smack T.O. All right.
So he'll fight across the middle. He'll catch the ball, and he'll run.
Okay. Eldridge in North Carolina. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, right. Eldridge.
Was actually still talking when Fred
just came
well,
up.
You know, we got other calls coming in.
Can we have a wait before we get to the next call? This is Spikes related. We talked a lot about Spikes and Mayo and linebackers on the pregame social. And one of the aspects of it is, do you feel like we've never seen Spikes because every time he gets some momentum, something pops up, whether it's an injury or a drug suspension or this.
Yes.
And do you believe we can extrapolate or project based on his best game that he's closer to that than the guy that's not very good? I mean, do you think he's going to be a good, solid, above average playmaking linebacker?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Paul does not. And we went back and forth. Do some people like Spikes because he's flashes of what
you hoped Mayo would be, and Mayo isn't and never has been for this team? Is there some sort of a strange comparison there?
See, here's the difference between Spikes and Mayo. I don't think Spikes has Mayo's speed.
Well, he doesn't.
And I don't think Spikes is world-class speed either. But I think Spikes is not a fast linebacker.
He plays fast.
He's an instinctual linebacker that I think that when he's finally comfortable out there, he'll be able to use those instincts.
That's what I said. Because when he's only out there for a week, if you really play by instincts, you got to get the speed of the game, your reads,
right. All
those misdirections that seem so easy when you've been playing for 4 weeks. The first time you see him, your head is spinning and there's a pause there. And I think that would fall in line with that theory. He's better the more he plays because he gets the speed and everything down and can predict what's going to happen, shoot gaps, do this. But we don't know because we haven't seen a continuous stretch of play.
Fair enough.
And we have seen a continuous stretch of play from Mayo. This is where I go the other way.
Well, I'm starting to come around to you.
He had three freaking tackles.
I have to admit, Andy, you know,
I broke him.
How do we do this?
No, but listen, I think he's a solid football player.
Oh, he is.
But, you know, given where he was drafted and given what this team needs, I would love someone to ask the question to Bill and have him answer it. You know,
just proves it's all worth it.
Other than tackles, what is keeping Gerard Mayo from coming up with those other types of plays that are usually expected off a first-round linebacker in the NFL?
Even Paul admitted this week, he goes, has Mayo played? Or, there's Mayo. I hadn't seen him
today. Well, no. On Sunday, there was a play. Was it – someone was hurt. Was it Molden? When Molden was down injured, it was very late in the game. I think it was Molden. And Mayo was standing over him, kind of looking down, checking on him. I go, Mayo did play today. Literally did not see him the entire game.
And we always talk about we really never know what the game plan is, what guys are supposed to do in certain plays. It could be a possibility with the state of the Patriots defense that his role on the defense has changed to more of, you know, kind of a roamer back there, making sure other guys don't screw up, kind of helping out other guys rather than getting up front with the front four and making plays. And, you know, I don't know about that.
That would be operating under the premise that this has been less of that than in the past,
that
this
he ever made plays.
Well, this is the same to me as we've seen. Well,
I would actually give him the pass on Sunday because my guess is Bill's game plan was what mine was, and that's you got to stop McCoy. My best chance of matching athleticism with McCoy is
I agree.
If you see him go anywhere, Gerard, you go with him.
He only had nine or ten carries.
My guess is that was what took him out of that game from really doing much else.
And on the other side, Andy Reid, his game plan was to throw the ball deep down the field. Well, Patrick Willis isn't going to be a big part of the deep down the field pass defense.
Fair enough.
Just like Gerard Mayo isn't.
Except he is sometimes.
Well, I watched that.
I believe it was the Panthers game, and Greg Olsen was a good 20 yards downfield, and he's just down there to reach up.
These plays were like 45 yards downfield.
The point is the plays, the game plan and the plays call kind of took him out of
on
making
Sunday.
Plays.
The point is, I
on
feel
Sunday.
Like there's always an excuse. When you ask him sometimes, it's I just do what's asked of me. I play within the game plan. Or knee injuries. He had a knee injury. It took him forever to come back. He's got a knee brace on. He's got another knee injury. He's moving positions. He's got to call the defense. How about at the end of the day, you just say, make a play. I told Paul, I watched 2 minutes of that Thanksgiving night game. And as I predicted last week when I said Patriots fans watch the game to see what a real linebacker is, Patrick Willis within first two series absolutely put a snot shot on Ricky Williams and nearly killed him.
To me, the other guy is almost as impressive.
That's fine. I'm just comparing apples to apples.
But I'll compare
number
some guy,
10
Navarro Bowman.
Linebackers.
Where did they get him from?
He was a second-round pick, maybe?
Oh, he wasn't that high?
I think he was a high pick.
So like Spikes, he's supposed to be.
Yeah. The trouble is, Spikes is closer to Patrick Willis than Mayo is. That's the problem.
Yeah. See, the only thing about Mayo, and I want to stress the thing about
Spikes
Mayo.
Spikes and Welker on his team.
When we say that's the stuff about the playmate, it's criticism, yes, but it's not saying Gerard Mayo is a bust, he shouldn't have been taken, we don't want him on the defense, he's taking up space out there. Gerard Mayo is a solid NFL inside linebacker. There's a lot of guys like that in the league. D'Amico Ryans, London Fletcher, there's a lot of guys that have made a living making a lot of tackles and not being overly dynamic. I'm not saying he's a stiff, he's not.
No, he's a nice second or third round pick.
I just expected more from him than we've gotten. That's all.
I'll change my criticism when they hand him $10 million a year.
Chris with a TIAN is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Then it's a bust.
Well, you're going to get it.
How you doing?
All right. Good win on Sunday, despite listening to the first hour of the show.
Hey, screw you. This call's terrible, too.
Hey, no one's talking, you fathead, all right?
Hey, if you want to hear all, you know, nothing but roses, go and listen to the Bill Polian show. You can find out how great everything is.
I kind of wanted to talk about the whole Price thing.
Yep.
And listening to you guys over the years and all the press conferences that you guys go to, and sort of you try to read between the lines with Phil. I kind of try to do that. I tried to do that yesterday when Brady gave his interview on EEI, and they asked him the same question that they asked Phil about why does Underwood play and Price doesn't. And he said that, you know, Underwood came in and we had him in camp and he picked up our offense quick.
Right.
And he never really answered the question like Bill didn't answer the question, but he kind of did. Like, so am I to take it that Price doesn't pick up the offense quick, that he's been here 2 years and Tyquan Underwood was here, I don't know, a couple of times and he picked it up faster than
I did kind of catch that. Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, but why he's even on the team, I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, especially even out there during garbage time on Sunday, that he didn't get a snap. You know.
Yep.
I'm right about that, right? He didn't play one snap.
He did not play a snap. You're right, and that's a great point.
And he was the only guy.
But that would fall in line with your thing, Fred. If you're really trying to teach him some sort of lesson and break him, you don't want him feeling snap. You want him to be the focal point. You won't get on the field until you prove to me you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Whether it's garbage time or not, you won't play.
Right.
Then that's, to me, that's silly. And that's why I'm saying it is spite.
Fred's theory.
That, to me, would be an example of spite. There's something wrong here. There's something that we don't know, admittedly, that it does not line up, because Christian's exactly right. If it's a situation where he is having trouble with his assignments, what better way to try to get him up to speed than to let him play the last 15 plays of a three touchdown game like everybody else did?
But that would be true.
Julian Edelman finished the game in the slot corner on defense. Why?
Unless it's not a matter of he just can't get it or he's being obstinate.
Well, if he's being obstinate, he shouldn't be on the team.
Yeah.
Well,
that's my point. That's Andy's point, actually.
I mean, that was the case with Chad Jackson for a while, and they gave him, and then finally they did cut him. But, you know, they wanted to see if they could get him in line, and they couldn't do it.
I think
Jackson's situation was much different. I think it was totally health-related early in his career.
But Ocho Cinco's been the same guy. He doesn't get it either. Every play, Brady has to tell him what he's doing, where he was, what break he didn't make that he should have made. Yeah. Why doesn't Taylor Price get that opportunity?
Do you think if he threw a 15-yard out to Taylor Price and he caught it, that Tom Brady would run over clapping and pumping his fist and saying, yeah, yeah, like he does to Ocho?
They're treated very differently.
No way.
It's not fair.
No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Fred, I want to give the two gentlemen there that you employ a big shout-out. Andy Howe was great last night on Sports Tonight.
You were on last night.
And he did the whole JG test there. Joey Galloway, Javon Gaffney test.
Our
was test. Good.
That is a test that
you look great on Telegram Mass.
Great.
Oh, thank you. Great.
Yeah, it's excellent. I really look forward to listening to you every Wednesday, which is pretty cool.
Plus,
thank you.
He's got that other guy that makes him look skinny, right?
That's true.
Well, oh, my Christian, God, Bertrand's huge. I never realized he was that big.
Well, Christian, thanks
that's
for the review of those two.
That's why I sit next to him, Christian.
If they ever slack off, they'll let me know. I'll pull their asses off those shows.
All right. The JG.
Thank you.
The JG test is appropriate today. And if it's true that Tyquan Underwood is Jabbar Gaffney, right? I mean, Gaffney, and
then get rid
Price
of Price
is Galloway.
If they cut Price, then I would say, okay, I get it now.
Me too.
I wouldn't say, why are they cutting Price? I wouldn't.
And I'd watch him catch 45 balls and 6 touchdowns for the Raiders.
Then I would say they made a mistake.
Well,
but
I would. I would not, actually. Because I think there's other teams where maybe the offense isn't as complex and they'll allow him to just do certain things that I think he can be successful. Yeah. I won't fault them because he has to be successful in their system.
You're assuming that it's simply he can't absorb the playbook.
Well, aren't we all kind of assuming that?
No, I'm saying that it could be something else.
Okay, give me an example other than
where
he
is just
again.
He just won't do what they. He's being obstinate, being a spoiled child.
So then he should be cut.
Well, possibly, but maybe they think there's a redemption part.
This spoiled child thing is to me has a 0% chance of being accurate.
I don't know.
Me too.
I'm just trying to.
He's not Dez Bryant.
He's a third round pick from Ohio University. I think there's a 0% chance that
Paul's Dez Bryant may be a total
dink. That's a possibility.
But some people think he's the next Randy Moss, and that's worth it because if you get 1,500 yards a year for the next 10 years.
I'm grasping for logical reasons.
But just as a follow up, the JG test, Jabbar Gaffney, Joey Galloway, originated on the pregame social. Andy Hart and I.
There you go. Good.
Which everybody should listen to.
Good, Paul.
Each and every week. This week we'll be on at. What time is it?
It's
a 1 o'clock game.
10:45.
15, 10, 11, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 10:45.
Wow, you needed your fingers.
Is it a 1:15 start or a 1:05 start?
There are no 1:15 starts.
Okay, well then that would make it.
You would think. You would think after years of going over the schedule and skipping over the 1 o'clock games that you would know that all the 1 o'clock games start at 1 o'clock.
1:05 actually.
I don't think so.
Yeah, 1:05.
It's not right at 1. I don't know what time it is.
It's 1:01 technically, but it's not 1:05.
Hey, Dink, you know the rundown. When does it start?
When's the actual kickoff?
No wonder those flyovers are always wrong. He doesn't know when the game starts.
All right, this next call should be a good one.
By the way, Jim Boeheim?
Yeah.
Joe Paterno?
Yeah.
Is he?
I don't think so, because there's no evidence that he was ever made aware of the situation.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that he's more Joe Paterno than not.
Okay, that's...
How does all this stuff happen and guys don't hear anything?
I know.
I'm not saying an official some letter
I mean,
saying
I suspect
your guy
about
is
you, Andy. You right. And I don't even know anything.
No, but in all seriousness, if there were rumors.
That's not that funny.
If there were
it's a little funny.
I have something to,
it's a lot funny because if it weren't that funny, there'd be some hint of truth to it. So it's a lot funny. Laugh.
No, I'm saying to make a joke about that,
but
about somebody.
How long's
not
he
that
been
funny.
With the guy? For decades.
Oh, yeah. Right. 30,
you don't hear little
years,
little
right?
chirpings. I mean, you're talking about literally hundreds
plus,
of players.
Plus, this is not a new allegation.
Right.
That's the thing is, that's why I think he knew.
But
if
even
it
before
came out
that,
today.
He must have heard little a whisper or a joke. Somebody like you would say, yeah, fine, he likes his boys. You know what I'm saying?
And I also
Boeheim had to hear something like that.
And I also thought that the original strong backing of Fine from Boeheim, you know, the guy's a born liar. You know, that's always, he's never seen this. He's that. And then when they fired him, was it Sunday? I think they fired him Sunday night. And much, much different tone to his comments, which leads me to believe that he's saying to himself, I better not go out that
right.
strongly because they know, they're going to know that I knew, and now he's trying to cover himself.
And why
himself.
Do you think the guy's a born liar? Maybe because he's had to lie his whole life because he's being diddled and he can't tell
right,
the truth to
right.
anybody and he feels like
his whole life
is a lie. He
can't,
exactly.
can't trust
Well,
anybody.
That's the problem with these things. You steal a person's life
right.
when you do that to
Talk
them.
About the butterfly yeah. effect. I mean, getting yeah. diddled at some age
yeah.
changes
it's
everything.
It's just disgusting.
It's you might as well have killed the person.
Well, now it's just gross that you're like, well, how many other major sports?
Like
and
I said,
and
I'm convinced that in all these situations where the adult is in an authority figure, these people gravitate to because that's...
I know, but it's such
Boy
a
Scouts,
terrible life.
The church, coaching, teaching.
All things that are fun. But all things that are fun. Now you're just
going
to not allow your kids to take part because we have to assume everybody who's there is diddling.
Yeah.
That's terrible. It's a terrible way to live life.
You just have to be careful to keep your kids out of situations where they're one-on-one.
I know, but
that's what you got to try to do.
It just sucks.
If you're a strong parent, and I'm not trying to make these people are victims. Even the families are victims, too. But usually it comes when there's not a strong,
I guess,
strong parenting situation. I mean, that's Sandusky's. That's basically this whole charity
well,
was for.
That's what made it even more heinous.
At-risk children.
Yeah. But I just think
he went out and targeted those people.
The more and more of these that come out, there's going to be more different demographics of people being
sure.
molested. They're
yeah.
not all going to be guys
right,
who
right.
didn't have a father and didn't have, you know, there's going to be ones from different walks of
no,
life.
No, but generally that's the kind of person that, you know, that this happens.
They prey on the weak.
And that, yeah, exactly. And then you see this thing with the wife, too.
Yeah. Well, which one?
Fine's.
No, but that
Fine's
she knew.
Fine's wife but then, was with the guy, too.
Yeah, but she also knew. Like, that's the two.
Right.
She not only was with him,
going.
But she also knew that he was doing this and was not strong enough to stop it or whatever.
Right. Well,
you know what that reminded me of, Paul? Your movie, Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
We should have
fought for Willie. Anthony in Naples is very angry. Anthony, what's going on? I can feel the steam coming out of the phone.
Can hear it.
No, I'm fine. I'm actually more angry at Paul than anything else.
Me?
Oh.
Why?
Yeah.
What did I do, buddy?
Well, actually, here's the thing, Paul. Like, you honestly, you actually hung up on me on the pregame, on your little pregame social.
Oh,
no, but that was just because we had to get to Eric, in all seriousness.
Yeah, but
we had like four calls
like...
waiting, and Eric was one of them.
But that's fine.
In retrospect, I should have skipped Eric, but that's another story.
No, it's fine that you hung up on me. It was just you made it seem like I was a regular fanboy, and I actually thought that Fletcher was more talented than Mayo. And
well, that's what you
what...
said. You'd rather have
no,
Fletcher out
not.
There than Mayo.
No, I said I'm only curious to see what Fletcher has in store because I already know the ceiling on Mayo. I'm not saying he's equal or like to Mayo. I was just saying I want to see what he's capable of. That doesn't mean he's on the same level as Mayo. God, what do you think I am?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what you're implying, is that you think that there's a chance that there's an upside there for Fletcher.
Yeah, doesn't he have more of an upside than Mayo now? We know what Mayo is.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
You're not getting my point.
I get your point. He does not have a higher upside than Mayo.
Paul's waiting for the year 5 jump on Mayo to actually make plays.
I don't care if Mayo never makes another play. Fletcher is not capable of playing 3 downs in the NFL and making 125 tackles.
Oh, I think he is.
Come on.
I think you roll out of bed and get 100 tackles when you play linebacker in the NFL.
Thank you, Andy.
I think you do.
I'm not even sure.
Well, what do we need to draft linebackers for? We can get anybody.
Well, that's not true. We're trying to get impact guys.
My point was with Fletcher was just like, well, he hasn't really played the position. We've seen a little bit in the preseason. Let's see what he's capable of doing. I'm just curious. I'm not saying he's going to be the starting 3-down linebacker. That's all I meant by that. And you're making it sound like, oh, I'm expecting him to be better than Mayo. That's just crazy. That's just fanboy. That's ridiculous.
I don't really. Then I guess I just don't understand what you're saying. Maybe you're right. Because what are you saying when you're talking about the upside of a player being higher than a guy?
I'm just saying I'm curious to see what he has, what type of potential he has. Is he not going to do anything in the NFL? And that's all it is. It's just a curious thing. I'm not saying he's going to supplant Mayo. That's just insane. My goodness.
Then we agree.
All. Yes. Absolutely. I just said I already know what Mayo is. I don't know what Fletcher is. So let's see what he can turn out.
I'm pretty sure I know what Fletcher is. He's a good backup linebacker.
I think Paul's
good,
point
solid
is
guy.
Whatever Fletcher has, it's not going to be as good as Mayo.
I think every NFL team has guys like Dane Fletcher, and you need those guys.
Right.
Special teamers who are capable of contributing on a part-time basis on defense. That's what Fletcher is. I'll take him on my team any day of the week.
You just made me sound like a little fanboy that didn't know like what Fletcher was. I was just saying, hey, I'm curious.
Wow, now all the little fanboys are going to be mad at Anthony.
Like Jeff.
Jeff is really mad at you.
Oh, whatever. I could care less about somebody who sounds like a cartoon character. Jesus. You honestly care about him? You know what he reminds me of?
Yep.
What's that?
Ding, 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 ding.
No, you know what he reminds me of? And, Paul, you probably know about this because you grew up probably with a lot of Italians. It's like that Italian, like, three brothers, like, 3 or 4 brothers. And, like, 2 of them go to jail, you know? And then, like, they think they're mafia because their family goes into crime. So they think they're a crime family. That's what Jeff reminds me of. You know, just because you live in Vegas and be supposed to...
I'm not sure if I should be offended by this.
Wise guys, you know, who cares? I mean, honestly, you care less about Snaggletooth over there.
Oh, man, wow. Okay. All right. Good thing that he's in Vegas and you're in Florida.
Make sure you know he's done before you hang up.
All right.
Oh, okay.
He just hung up on him. He is mad.
And he has a right to be.
Speaking of mad, Brooklyn Matt.
Hi.
As writing in on web radio at pages.com.
Fraud even.
Brooklyn Matt says, like another listener, I actually took 22 minutes out of my life to watch one of your PFW TV episodes last week.
Oh, good stuff.
Before I ever knew what you guys look like. During the entire 2007 season, I thought Fred was a 20-year-old college kid who was 98 pounds soaking wet. Imagine my surprise when I saw Jabba with his fat shoulders on TV.
Jabba.
I almost fell out of my chair. I have fun watching Paul forever deciding what to do with his hands and arms.
That's true.
He'll place them in front of his belly and fiddle with his fingers for a while, then decide against that and put them in his pockets. Then he'll change his mind again and go back to the frontal fiddle. Paul does have a great smile, though. The TV crew noticed this, too, and actually gave a close-up shot of one. Then Andy, laugh out loud. Andy,
I don't know. That's a little gay.
So is he.
Andy just makes sure he always looks like he wants to kill somebody.
No.
Add to that his whole human blowfish thing where he puffs himself up as big as possible.
How do I do that?
You do that. You're like the guy in the gym walking around.
No, that's just how I am.
The only thing missing is the Zubas.
The only one I've ever seen flex their arms or chest on camera is you, Fred. You walk around going, but you have to move your whole upper body to try to get your breast to move.
I do that on camera.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've seen you flex in the morning meeting.
Okay. That's probably just natural rippling.
No, because you have to move literally your whole upper body to get anything to move.
I do that.
Rippling, he just said.
The only thing that's rippling is your chin, fatty.
Let's see. Higgins from Hopkinton writes in, it's strange, but a disproportionate number of your email and callers are named Dan. I even heard another Dan from Hopkinton, so I had to send my emails as Higgins from Hopkinton. I know only a few Dans in my life. Maybe they all call in or write in. Great show, F those Jets. So this guy just wanted to write in about people.
We have a lot of
Dans.
And I don't even feel like we have a ton of Dans.
I don't know.
I mean, we have double names on a lot of names, but not more so Dan. Dan Orlovsky is going to start.
We have Dan Heffernan.
Yeah.
Heffernan. Not
Dan
Heffernan.
And Harriet.
Yeah.
It's Dan.
Dan and Harriet. Yeah. I guess we do have a couple.
Chris Dan in Stanford, one quick question.
He said there's two, though, in Hopkinton.
That's what he said.
Higgins in Hopkinton is also Dan in Hopkinton. There's two.
I'm not taking it for fact.
Why? And by the way, maybe the guy earlier, his girlfriend, maybe she bought it at like a charitable thing.
That's what I was trying to get at. Well, how did he get it?
Well, I don't think he knows. It's a gift. I bought you this gift from his girl. That's a good gift, though, because if he...
Brady Welker and Bill Belichick?
That's big bucks.
That's huge.
Forget it. I just almost said something really.
I didn't want to ask if he was like a make-a-wish guy.
I was going to say, are you dying? Going to see this on SportsCenter with that music and the voice.
That would be
right.
Just like us.
One of our listeners dead.
Chris from Stanford, one quick question in light of the Packers undefeated at this point. Where the heck are the 72 Miami Dolphins? By the time the 07 Patriots went 11-0, we had Mercury Morris popping up every 5 minutes and Don Shula openly rooting against them on Monday Night Football during the Ravens game. Did the Dolphins realize they look like jackasses, so they're backing off now? It seems like there's a much different storyline nationally than what the Patriots went through in 07. Very little embracing the hate for Green Bay. Chris brings up a good point. Do you think...
Miami's coming out. And well, no, they don't realize they look like jackasses.
Actually,
they
Mercury
do it, they
Morris
do it every
did say
single
he would,
year.
He would be happy if they broke the record.
But they're coming out to root against them.
But
that's coming.
But
December hasn't even arrived yet.
Do you think
yet.
That more people thought it was likely the Patriots would go undefeated than the Packers this year when, in 07?
Yes.
You thought so? It was more likely the Patriots would go undefeated?
I don't know. I'm just adding me to the mix. I don't think the Packers will, and I think the Patriots would. So
I thought the Patriots would, and I think the Packers will, too. I don't really think there's any chance the Packers won't unless, like I said, they decide not to play their guys.
I think they could lose.
Anybody could lose.
They have a losable game this week.
They play at the Giants.
Yeah, losable.
Absolutely losable. But I don't think it's any more losable than the Patriots at the Giants in 07.
Oh, I do. I was stunned that they were in that dogfight. Stunned.
I think the Patriots in 07 were better than the Packers
Plus,
this year. That's for sure.
I don't mean to rain on anybody's parade, but... The Patriots went undefeated during the regular season, so the Packers don't become relevant to the Dolphins until they reach the postseason.
Well, that's what I said. It's not even December yet.
The record they're challenging is the Patriots' 16-0 record. They don't get to challenge Miami until they complete a regular season.
Right. The Patriots have the longest regular season undefeated.
They're the only team to go 16-0 in the regular season.
Right.
So they are the comparable to the Packers right now. Once they reach the playoffs... Then I think the Dolphins become relevant because they finish the job.
Yeah, and true. I think the Dolphins will come out because that's what they do every year.
Yeah,
they come out. They're insufferable.
But everybody hates the Patriots more anyway, so it's just the way
that's
it is.
True.
Well, I think there's some truth to that.
Well, certainly for the Dolphins, don't you think? They're, yeah. I mean, they're division rivals.
Yeah, I think in terms of like a team that most people don't hate, I think the Packers are it. I think they can be more America's team than
the
Cowboys.
That?
I don't know. It's like milquetoast Wisconsin.
Smallest market.
You know, smallest market. The fans are...
But they do have a national following that's kind of odd, yeah. I think.
Well, I just think you look at it, and usually the characteristics of teams that people hate are they win a lot, they have a national following that annoys people in other cities because it's not... You know, they're rooting for a team other than the team
but
they're in.
Also, they have, like, real big superstars that are abrasive.
Everybody hates Brett Favre. He was their superstar for a while.
But he didn't become abrasive until the end.
I
he
just think
loved.
The Packers have
people
a lot that should be hateable.
Matter of fact, there's a lot of people nationally, like the Peter Kings of the world, that still love him.
Right.
Well, I'm talking about fans.
Yeah, I don't think he got hated until he started his retire and come back thing.
Right.
I don't think he was hated by fans.
I'm talking about why don't they hate the Packers. I don't think I think Fred's right. There's not a lot of venom like there is towards the Steelers.
No, there isn't.
Or the Cowboys or these other teams. And the Packers have had success. They won a Super Bowl in the 90s.
They
won a Super Bowl in the 2000s.
Maybe they are now, but over the years, they haven't been. They've been.
Paul wanted to fight a guy in 96, so at least 15 years ago, they were obnoxious.
I'll give you the same story.
That was pretty
obnoxious.
Walking
back from 96.
That was pretty obnoxious.
You know, I'm walking with my head low back to the hotel, and these Packers fans are, you know, they're like, hey, maybe we'll see you guys next year. And I was like, wow, these guys aren't. your typical fan. They are nice.
That's because you weren't even smart enough to know you were being mocked.
No. They were actually being, you know, nice and sympathetic.
Now, that, I will say that that kid got under my skin in a way that usually only Mike in Puerto Rico can do.
Do you think it could have been you, though, not
of
him?
Of course I was. Oh. I was pissed.
Okay. So it could have been anyone.
Nearly drove you to murder.
No, the way the kid did it, I think, was... You know, it
what
wasn't
about
just
that
anybody.
Dog you kicked? It didn't even say anything.
But it wasn't. It wasn't just anybody coming out of the game.
I think it was.
I don't think I would ever do that to anybody.
You were mad.
Oh, I was pissed. But I'm saying I don't think if we had won the game, I don't think I would ever have directed something toward a Green Bay guy coming out of the game.
Even back then,
never.
No,
never. I don't think so. Anyway,
Juan writes in, "Hey guys, I'm Victor. All right." I'm Victor from Ecuador. Sunday's game was awesome as the Pats destroyed the Birdies. It was as great as hearing one of Fred's weird stories. Anyway, my question is, given that the Sunday night game of Week 15 is Baltimore at San Diego, and San Diego will probably be out of the playoff race by then, if the Denver Tebows keep winning, what do you think are the chances of NBC flexing out of Baltimore-San Diego and moving the evil hoodie football Jesus game to prime time so that way the Pats can show the whole country the fraud that Tebow is and blow them out by 30, or maybe set up Tebow's ascension to heaven with a 30-point fourth-quarter comeback? I know Fred would be thrilled by that.
Yes. The long email gets a short answer. Yes,
everything,
a good chance that'll be
everything
on.
Is 1,000% true in that email, with the exception of that last sentence about the 30-point comeback.
No, he is the fourth highest.
They don't even have 30 points in the six games he's played, do they?
I don't know. I just would call them the Denver defense.
We looked at this on Sunday, Freddie.
Yeah.
And
well, we were throwing it on the bus. Believe me.
The only game that stacks up that week is the Monday night game.
You can't be changed.
And they're not going to change. They can't change a Monday night game. So. I think we're screwed.
Yeah.
Good news is you'll have a lot of extra time in Denver. Maybe you can go bike riding in the Rockies.
I'm not happy
about that. Just so you know, I don't want you to do that.
Yeah.
Don't go for a bike. I think you know why.
He'll die.
I don't want you to go for a bike ride in the Rockies.
We'll be waiting for curse words, and it'll never come. It'll just have that clock counting when you take your little breaks.
Colin writes, talking about pulling the plug on the paper. We could do it.
Pull the plug on Fred.
Colin writes in, you know what makes me sick about Tebow mania? It's so disrespectful of the Broncos defense. All you hear about is Tebow just wins. Tebow, Tebow, Tebow. How about Von Miller? Doesn't he just win? It's the defense that's winning. Tebow makes two plays a game, and he gets all the credit. Can't wait for that game. I think we should dismantle Denver. What's our weakness? Pass defense. Great. Here's a team without a quarterback. Perfect.
I'll say this for your boy, Freddie.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Tebow at all today, and I'm sure
it was a good show up until
now. I'm sure the listeners are happy about that. Two things. One, I thought he made some throws in that game that I hadn't seen in the previous whatever many starts. Some good throws. So he is improving, as you predicted. I'll give you some kudos for that. The second thing that I'll say in favor of Tebow is...
Did you drink that whole bottle of Coke?
Yeah. So the second thing I'll say is this. You made a point about... The guy just made a point about... You know, what about the defense? And Tebow must be a pretty solid guy because it's the opposite. Those defensive players are falling all over themselves with excitement. And it's not just like Von Miller, a rookie. It's guys like Champ Bailey and Brian Dawkins that are like, we know if we keep it close and we give this guy a chance, he's going to do it for us. So Tebow must be doing something that is inspiring that kind of reaction. I gotta say it the way it is. I've been very critical, but I gotta say it the right way.
That's what he predicted coming into the league. I'll work hard and they'll like
me. I gotta
me.
Say that.
And then
I
the
still
like will learn
think...
to love, and then the love will learn to trust, and blah, 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 blah.
No, I still don't think that you can win consistently scoring 13 points every game and relying on the other team to miss field goals every game. Like,
percentage is up to 45.
San Diego missed two field goals the other day, and either one of which would have won the game. I don't think you can rely on that every week, and it seems like he's getting a disproportionate amount of luck all in one group of games here.
He is God.
Luck or divine intervention?
But I will say that those two things, I thought he made a couple of throws in the fourth quarter that I haven't really seen him make, tough throws. And I've been impressed with the way that defense seems to be embracing him, because I think it would be very easy for veterans – playing that kind of football to say, screw this kid. Why is he getting the credit? We have to go out there and play 40 minutes a game because he can't stay on the field. They can't convert a third. They were 2 for 14 again, I think, on third down.
He sucks.
They can't mount a drive. for three quarters every game, yet the defense puts him in a position to win every game. That would be easy for that defense to say, how is this kid getting credit for us winning when we're doing all the work? And it's the opposite that's happening. So that's, to me, a testament to Tebow.
Testament to John Fox for me. My guess is he got to Champ Bailey and said, Champ, I need you to be on board with this. We can't have any fractured locker room.
It's funny. You guys all told me John Fox was rooting for them to lose.
I didn't.
I think at first he was. But then I think he embraced it.
You know? I would just trade him to the Jags now while his trade value is high.
And I told you guys off air, the guy, in my opinion, who's really gone down notches is John Elway. And I'm as
big. Did you see him high-fiving on the sideline?
Yeah, well, now he is. But I really question him, and I don't think he's long for that position.
He said he didn't mean it. Did you read those comments? That wasn't taken negative, and I didn't understand where that was going to go, and I have to learn from it that certain things I say
think it was
can
a
be
very,
taken, blah, blah, blah.
I think it was a very accurate, honest assessment of the situation. I don't understand why he got anywhere near the criticism he did for
it.
I
was fine with it. He was right. He told the truth.
Are they anywhere closer to having a quarterback of the future? No, I don't think we are.
They don't even have a quarterback of the present.
And I don't see why that's so blasphemous.
You just don't do that as
Why?
The head of a team. You know, that's for the pundits to do, not for you. That's not your job, is to give accurate, objective assessments of your players to the media. That's not your job.
I don't think that...
Let the media do that.
I don't think that he gave an assessment of Tebow.
Well,
he said
the situation, you know?
Right.
But that
played six games.
But that in itself becomes an assessment of Tebow. Doesn't it?
Okay.
Of course it
does. Well, we don't have to degenerate into that.
No, we're not going to talk.
I just remembered we have TV.
Ken from Canton.
Is that
writes,
why you got all upset?
Yes, I just remembered we have this stupid show to shoot.
I know. It's very depressing.
I think Fred's going to be out totally next year. Now he can't even handle the two segments that he does.
It's more than two segments. I do the photos. I do around the NFL, read and react, and morning meeting.
Yeah, it's like he beat me in three sports.
But three of those is one segment.
Three of them are one segment?
Yeah, around the NFL, the pitchers and the morning meeting are all done at once.
It's not one segment. It's
but it's all done at
it's
once,
completely
Fred.
Different. I know, but it's two completely different segments that takes time.
Beat me at three sports.
Right.
Ken from Canton, looking for precedent on having a low total defense ranking. I find it hard to believe that you cover the team that did it twice. In 2001 and 2003, the Patriots ranked 26th and 24th in total defense. It should also be noted that in both those years, IIRC, what does that mean? If I recall correctly. Wow, you know that little
Well, he's big
text
on Facebook.
Though. If I recall correctly, the Pats ranked in the top six in scoring defense in those years.
Yeah, not 11th.
And the Pats are on track to be around those rankings by the end of the year.
Okay.
Except for the fact they actually fell this week.
Here's where we project that, well, you know, because we're playing bad teams, we're going to be better than we really are.
No, but even using
statistically,
that, they fell a spot this week. So if you project forward, they're going to fall another spot.
Right, but this
spot.
Was the last team that they played with a pulse. So when they hold Indianapolis to 3 points like they held Kansas City to 3 points,
Tebow.
They'll move back. Well, I mean, the best of times, he scores
Tebow.
13.
By the way, different. That 400 yards thing is kind of inflated on Sunday. Over 120 yards were gotten by Philly after the Pats scored their last TD. However, I do agree that Price not playing is a mystery. Nothing to agree with there. It's just the fact. It's a mystery, right?
Correct. A lot of that passing came before garbage time, too. Just, you know, as a point of clarification, he had, what do you have? 136 yards in his first three completions?
David writes in, this is probably a dumb or naive question, but is it all possible that Price is great in practice, but the Patriots are holding him back in order to have an extra little wrinkle or dimension to the offense when the playoffs start? What would be the point of having the league see Price these last few easy games and be able to prepare for him if we don't need him now to win games? He's active because he might be needed in the game in an emergency, but if you don't need him, don't show him. Or is this not likely because real game experience, even if it's garbage time, is just too valuable and you can't just expect him to be plugged in for the postseason?
Yeah, that.
I thought maybe Ocho has been held back for the same reason, though this is less likely based on what we've actually seen of him on the field. By the way, did you see Ocho's funny tweet last night? Goes, not sure Evelyn Lozada motivation tactic is working. She says, if I can't score at work, it's no need to be scoring at home. I really need a TD.
That's what she's been saying for the last, what was that, at least a month ago she said that.
You're a football player?
Yeah, you think he really hasn't? He's on the Eric Scalavino lucky or unlucky streak. Speaking of which, did you have a tale you wanted to tell from Philly?
tale I wanted to tell from Philly.
Regarding Eric's...
Oh, yeah. Well, we went to a place called Moriarty's, which, I, you know, has the best wings in Philly, hands down.
Now, is that do they advertise that, or is that just our opinion?
Yeah, they've been voted in at least one contest. They got that.
I can't believe he didn't bring any home.
And it's true. They're really, really good. So we went there, and I guess prior to us going to Philly, Eric was going back and forth with one of our listeners, a female, who listens to all the shows, and had arranged to meet her at Moriarty's. And so as we came, Moriarty's is two floors, we came downstairs at the end of our dinner, and there she was sitting at the bar with another friend. And Eric stayed behind. We went back to the hotel and I guess stayed out to the wee hours of the morning.
Interesting.
So
he stayed by himself?
Did he?
What's that?
Stayed by himself?
B-Lo was with him for a while. I guess B-Lo then left.
He's married.
The B-Lo.
But then B-Lo left, leaving Eric alone.
So he had a menage a trois?
With the two girls. Yeah.
Interesting. We'll have to ask Eric this story. Or the listener, because she could be listening now. And if you are, call in.
So unfortunately, Eric played the role of the 14-year-old you know, middle school student who was too embarrassed to talk about it in front of everybody.
Right. Well, because there's nothing really to talk about.
Well then say that.
But, you know, how he is. He likes to fluff everything up.
It's like giggling.
But if you're listening, friendo Eric in Philly.
Do we even know who it was? It's a listener of the show. It's no. Not really a participating.
Maybe she can
listener.
Call in or email in and tell us what happened.
Yeah. It's going to hurt him, though, if she like makes fun of him at all.
She's going to write in, oh, he thought.
No,
he's just a
She's like,
guy.
I'm actually a lesbian.
I'm married.
Well, Eric, or I wasn't until that night anyway.
Eric is what? He's like 52. Because I know she was like 22, so there was an age difference.
He thinks he's going to get a hot young girl.
Yeah. Oh, she's young.
But that's how he likes him.
Forget that, then.
He thinks he's going to get a hot young girl, even though he never got a hot young girl when he was young.
This is the problem. This is the problem, Fred. You need to act like a father figure,
right,
and get through to him.
Lower your standards and raise your average.
Well, but it's not even standards. It's get
realistic.
Realistic with your age.
And looks.
He's in his late 30s. What would a 22-year-old girl, regardless of appearance,
well, unless you had a lot of money,
want to do that? But that's my point.
Right.
That's the only reason a 22-year-old would be interested in that.
Maybe he has a lot of money. He'd drive a Saab.
Would be financial related.
I can't afford a Saab.
Someone needs to explain this to him.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I'm not telling him that he should go find the ugliest girl he can just so he can score.
Right.
But
I am.
You know, find somebody.
Make sure it still works.
Find somebody, you know, closer to your age that you might actually, you know, have something in common with.
Is there a website for, like, failed artists or something? No.
Wow.
I'm only kidding. Just kidding.
No, you're not. I kid.
Dave in Pennsylvania. Did you guys notice that?
Formal artistic training.
You think she follows him on Twitter and likes his Scrabble word of the day?
Yeah. I'm learning a lot.
That's how you get off the schneid. You take a dive, right, Andy?
Exactly.
Some of us, well, never mind.
Dave in Pennsylvania says, did you guys notice that Brady didn't have his tennis elbow strap on versus the Eagles? How can you explain that? And the only game that makes me nervous the rest of the season is at Denver, because history always shows the Pats always struggle in the thin air. He did not wear the strap because on the All Access I was forced to argue that I'm worried about his health. So just to show me up, they took the tennis elbow strap off.
I'm still worried about his health, and I maintain that, but
I'm not.
We did notice that he didn't wear the strap.
But I mean, you could explain it as it doesn't bother him, or it's still bothering him. That just bothers him more.
And I'm glad
he
you changed
like
that
it.
In the thing that I wrote about it, because I couldn't. For some reason, I was like blanking on what exactly did they call that stupid thing. And Andy rightly
the thing you were describing is what Carter wears, those black.
And I knew, but and you know what's funny? When I wrote that, I meant to put a big question mark on it so it would remind me of it, and I forgot. Because I knew that wasn't what it was, but for some reason I was blanking exactly
what
that stupid thing
is. Tennis elbow?
I did. I was telling on the air the other day that I had it so bad. I had it so bad that I literally could not, with my palm down, could not lift a can of Coke. If I put my palm up, no problem. But in that angle, palm down, I couldn't lift a can of Coke. And I had
to test Brady. I'm going to put a can of soda in. Tom, could you pick this up for me? No. Palm down.
And I took the big needle. And a couple weeks later,
I took the needle.
A couple weeks later, it was fine, and I've never had a problem since.
So maybe he took the big needle, so to speak. What does that mean?
The cortisone.
Cortisone.
The big cortisone.
Is that a common term? Took the big needle?
Well, no, but I knew what he was talking about.
It's a big needle.
It is a big needle.
No, I know, but you said it like it was a common, everybody knows if I took the big needle what it means.
I don't know.
I never had any of that. So did you have to deal with any? Well, you tore your ACL. That's
back in the war, we used to say, you know, when you get your venereal disease, you backed up to the needle. You know?
I'll tell you what's a big needle.
You got the venereal disease?
Back in the war. I wasn't in the war either, Paul.
No, but I just.
It's a joke.
I assumed that you were talking. Well, first of all, I thought you were talking about yourself. Never mind. I thought you were making fun of yourself.
My early years were a war.
I thought you were making fun of yourself about what you had
to
do.
No, I've never had
prevent venereal disease.
A sexually contracted disease.
Yes, sure? I was. No.
You've had other issues, but that's a different show for you.
Let's see. Norman writes in, the Packers have a national following because they have more NFL championships by far than any other team.
That wasn't the question.
Yeah, but half the people aren't even alive when it won the early ones, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't my question. My question was the opposite. I know they've had a lot of success. Why aren't they more hated by people who don't follow them?
Right.
I think people who don't root for the Packers don't really care about them.
I just don't
Cowboys, people that don't root for the Cowboys don't like them.
Because they got pushed down your throat and they had, you know, flamboyancy and all that stuff.
Same with the Steelers?
Nevertheless,
an honest question.
Well, the Cowboys are loved and hated.
Right. And I think the Steelers are, too. I think non-Steelers
Steelers are loved and hated.
Why are the Packers only loved and then the
I
other people
I have an answer
don't
that I'll
care.
Give you in about 5 minutes.
But Norman also says, nevertheless, Pittsburgh is the real America's team. Everywhere you go, they are beloved. I hope that the Patriots meet Pittsburgh in the playoffs and defeat them in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I don't think Pittsburgh is beloved. I think Pittsburgh is like Dallas. They're loved and hated.
Right.
Like they have
Yankees,
a national following.
Like the Red Sox.
Absolutely.
Like the Celtics. Like the Lakers. But why are the Packers not hated?
Right. I think the Patriots nationally
are hated.
Are hated.
Yes.
I don't think they're loved and hated
as
nationally.
They should be. Because they win a lot and you have reason to hate them. Why does no one hate the Packers?
Greg writes in, wow, you guys.
Maybe they will now that they get onto our don't like his comportment theory on Aaron Rodgers.
You guys really know how to bring down a high. Here I was thinking the Patriots are in the top three or four in the AFC. Little did I know that PFW would show me the error of my ways and inform me of the mediocrity of my team. By the way, if I had Andy's negative outlook on life, I might need the Depends too. Does Kevin have to change them on breaks? Anyway, I digress. I'm happy with the improvement of the team over the last month. I'm worried about the offense, though. I think there is danger in not having an NFL-caliber wide receiver on the field with Welker and Branch.
Isn't that what I said?
History tells us that both good offense and good defense gets you to the postseason. History also shows us that the D often slows the O. Are you confident that the Patriots can hold the Steelers, Ravens, Texans, or even Bengals under 24 when those teams hold the Patriots to the mid-20s? That's a big question.
Well, I think they could hold Cincinnati or Houston below 24.
Especially with Houston's situation.
Yeah. If Matt Schaub was playing, the only thing that would worry me about Houston.
Unknown.
From a Houston perspective would be they've never been there before. But that's a very balanced team. They have a balanced offense and balance between offense and defense. That's a good team.
They could certainly be a team that has tried to get over the hump so long that just says, woo, we're in the playoffs, woo.
And that, I think, is, well, it's unfortunate
it's
for that
now
because
right.
If it happens now, it's not because of any lack of maturity.
It'll be because Brody Croyle
TJ Yates can't get the job done.
Is he related to Billy?
Yates, spiritual brother.
Is he?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Cousins.
Brother from another mother.
Right.
What is he doing?
What exactly?
Because we can keep going until we get kicked off the air.
Well, usually you know, when I start, forever. They interrupt me anyway, so I figured I'd keep letting you go.
We're making brother from another mother jokes. That means it's time to read an email.
Quit your belly aching.
Gene in Daytona says, I was happy the Patriots won Sunday, but disappointed Taylor Price did not get a chance to play. If he does not get a chance to play soon, the Patriots should release him. He has kept his mouth shut for 2 years and has done all that has been asked of him. I'm tired of people coming up with reasons why the kid isn't playing. You are doing the kid an injustice. I expect more from Robert Kraft, and he should step in and release the kid so at least he can get a chance elsewhere. Can the Patriots show some class? And as far as Andy and I missed him last year when he was out. So now it's Robert Kraft on the field making, you know.
And he's going to make the exception for Taylor frickin' Price.
Right. Bill, I don't want you to play Taylor Price. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is a mystery. I have to admit that.
Do you remember anything like it? Okay, I shouldn't ask you. Paul, do you remember anything like
I have to think about it.
Well, I know, but you're not going to remember anything.
Like this, where they a position of need that they seemingly have a young player that they...
Yeah.
No. I can't really recall. I'm sure there is one, but I can't really recall one
you know, you think,
like this.
Well, you think at the skill positions, running back, wide receiver, that's where likely you would be...
Well, generally those... But generally, you all get a chance to play. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
At some point during the course of a season, if you're talented... You generally get an opportunity to make a play or two somewhere. You know, you end up with a handful of catches as a wide receiver, even if you're not a big part of the offense. Like Edelman last year, he got his opportunities.
Sure.
Not a lot, but he got his opportunities at some point. I can't recall a guy like this who has just not had any chances to do anything.
Right. Hey, John Rooks here. John, you're well-traveled. Let me ask you a question. Usually,
that's a good way of saying I'm old.
Usually, any sports team that has a history of winning becomes both loved and hated.
Yeah.
Why are the Packers not hated?
Wow, that's a great question.
This is solid PFW in progress negativity. We want to know why you don't like Green Bay.
I'd have to
say,
the
Cowboys
like
are hated. You know?
Well, the Cowboys are hated because I believe over the years, people had the NFL Films mantra of America's team shoved down their throats. So I think that's part of the reason why the Cowboys are hated. Green Bay,
you think in all sports, not just the Steelers are hated, the Yankees, the Red Sox, Duke, Notre Dame, all
Lakers,
the great long, Lakers, Celtics.
Because these teams have all won extensively.
I don't think the Chicago Bulls were ever hated.
Oh, God.
Oh,
are
yeah.
you kidding
really?
Me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
You had to love Jordan.
Yeah,
didn't love Jordan.
People respected Jordan, but they rooted against them every year.
Yeah, because they...
Well, but they didn't hate him.
No, everybody
okay.
likes to see the kingpin fall.
So yeah. Why is Green Bay not as hated?
I would argue that because Green Bay did the majority of their winning back during an era before there was the Super Bowl, that most modern fans just aren't aware of Green Bay's proclivity for being a championship or a quote-unquote.
Eric's not here. Dumb
the word
it down.
For the day.
That's
the
an egregious use of vocabulary.
I think it's because Felger used to be a fan, and you feel sorry for all of Wisconsin, the fact that he was even from there. So.
I think, I don't know that Felger has anything to do with it, but I would tell you that I think that Green Bay, because it's a small town and because it is, I think, in this modern era, 21st century era here, of all things big, that because Green Bay is the smallest market, people have a tendency to root for the little guy. And I think rooting for Green Bay is the little guy.
Yeah. I can buy that.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We got a TV show to shoot. John Rook is up with Patriots Playbook right now.
Nitpick
next
Tuesday.
Is after him is 4 o'clock. Pete Shepard. For us, we'll see you tomorrow at noon.
All right. Hey there, all you middlemen! Throw away your fancy clothes! And why are you out there sitting on the fence? So get off your ass and come down here! Cause rock and roll ain't no riddle, man. To me, it makes good sense. Good sense, yes, go.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.